I think there's a bit of a delay getting this going, so I think I set it to about 15 seconds or something. All right, looks like we're live. Ooh, here we go.
Yep, I
Spaceship.
just got an announcement. YouTube
Yep.
is live. Hot damn.
There we go. So we should get a few folks coming in pretty soon, which will be good. I only woke up not long ago. It's been I had a late night. I had a gig last night, and then I sort of had to do all my, just the house stuff that I needed to do, and I left it until like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and went to bed pretty late. So I'm a little husky in the voice after doing the gig yesterday, but it was great, man. I had my Strat out and my big amp, my Super Reverb, and it was a lot of fun. So I'll be posting a video that my friend Rick shot up at some point because it's really cool. It's a really cool sound.
How heavy is that amp to drag around with you?
It's a probably, I don't know, like 10 pounds or 5 kilos heavier than the Blues Deluxe.
Okay.
So it's just big. Like it does, whereas you can sort of pick the Blues Deluxe up off the ground. I'm not going to say easily, but you can kind of carry it like a briefcase. Whereas the Super Reverb, because I'm short, you got to kind of turn, lean sideways and then get it right, like right up to here because it's such a tall amp. But it's just so good. My friend Ryan, who played with us last night, he filled in for Brian. He's got an original 65 Deluxe Reverb, and I had mine, and they're very, very similar. I got to say, like I was worried that mine was sort of going to get blown out of the water, but it really they sounded very, very similar. So it's good. It's good to know that the new amps are in a lot of cases just as good as some of the, the originals, which are probably a lot more expensive. So,
I think if they weren't, Fender would have a hard time selling the reissues.
you're right. It was a good. It was a really good night. In terms of like playing, it was good, and in terms of also like just tones, we had some just great tones. My friend Ryan had his, like I said, Super Reverb, and he was playing his SG. So I've got mine out now. I'm more motivated to play it. He had just great sound, very Derek Trucks, and he's one of those guys. He's a bit of a wizard on guitar. He doesn't play like conventional sort of licks. He kind of just, I don't know, he's got a whole fusion sort of vibe going on. So between my clunky blues licks and his sort of style, it worked all right, man. It was pretty cool. So yeah, we had a good time last night. It was pretty cool. All right, so we've got a few folks in the chat. We've got Joel. Howdy, man. We got the Jeb dude. Welcome. Lennart Guitars back. How are you, man? It's been a while since I've done one of these, so apologies. I've been really busy and not had a chance to really do much on the weekends other than rest. We've got David Gilmore. We've got Mr. Kareem. Dustin Holyman. Picked up a used Hot Rod Deluxe. Recommends speakers slash tubes. Valves, in terms of tubes or valves, if you need to replace them, do it. If you don't worry about it. JJ tubes seem to be pretty good value for money and all that kind of stuff. I really like the Eminent speakers. If you're into check out like the Texas Heat or the Swamp Thing. I got a Swamp Thing in my Blues Deluxe. It sounds great. All right, so I've got Jejuan. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, man, but good morning from Thailand. How you doing?
Wow.
And we've got Ryan H here as well. How are you, man? So we had quite a few people request a link for the stream, which was good. So we should get a few folks in here today, I reckon. So should be good.
Experimenting with a little light diffusion here to see if I can get a little better image of myself.
No, it looks good. It looks pretty cool.
If
You used to we used to never be able to see your face in the old days, so this is
Oh
good.
God. Yeah, I know. I'm never going to live that down, am I?
No,
Actually,
that's it.
I've got just a piece of white paper here, and when I just diffuse over the light, it softens it up a little bit.
Well, that's a good little trick to use. I mean, my studio lamps have white.
Diffusers.
But the thing is, they're so powerful that it's hard for me. I have to, it's literally facing the wall and I've got just a crack of light coming through the side, and that's more than enough. Otherwise it probably wouldn't work too well. So we've got Agu Fishers in here as well. How are you, man? All right. We've got Matt's here as well. So we've got, yeah, plenty of folks coming in. All right. So what's the news with you, Steve? What's been happening, and how's the playing and the gas? You got any more pedals since we last spoke? It's been about 4 or 5 weeks.
Actually, no. I still have the same number of pedals.
Yeah.
Well, but I have been, interesting lately, I have been spending more time with my acoustic.
Yes. Recently.
I come across a couple of songs that I remember from the past, Doobie Brothers songs, Blackwater.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm trying to pick up the finger picking on it. You know, I'm making some progress with it. And then I recalled that when I bought, this is a Martin guitar, when I bought it, I guess about 8 or so years ago, the gentleman told me, he says, you know, I can get you on the Martin factory tour. And they're only in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour from where I live.
Oh, okay, cool.
So my wife was off last week, and, you know, we just had a day that we didn't have anything planned. I said, you know, if you want to take like an hour or so ride, you know, I'd really like to see, you know, the factory. I know they'll take you on like about a 45-minute tour. They had some real a room with some really neat stuff that you could play.
Yeah, cool.
And it turned out to be a beautiful day, and I picked out a route that just had some nice, you know, backcountry roads to go from my house to theirs. Turned out to be a really pleasant, like 4 or 5 hour afternoon. And my wife, who wasn't terribly sure she really wanted to go, but just sort of went along. Yeah. You know, on the way home, she says, I'm glad I went. That was really interesting.
Yeah, cool. How big is the factory?
Oh, it's a fairly good size. You know, I didn't think Martin was that large of a company, but I was surprised. It looks like that the factory complex takes up a good half of a regular sized, not city block, but town block.
Far out. Okay.
I remember them saying a square footage number, but it escapes my my memory at the moment.
Oh, that's all right. I don't really know how that works anyway.
It, needless to say, there was probably 100 people working.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So
far
out. It's a good size factory, and
yeah,
Shane, you should see the quality of the stuff they're making, man. It is freaking gorgeous.
Yeah. Cool. You know,
they had to clean up after me because I drooled all over the floor on my way through the door.
Yeah. Nice. The only factory I think I've got near me, I've got two. I've got Mayton acoustic guitars, which are probably like one of two most well-known acoustic guitars from Australia, and Cole Clark, which is like an offshoot of Mayton. I think the business owners of Mayton split up or something, and one of them started Cole Clark, and they've kind of caught on because they're a little bit cooler looking. They look a little bit nicer, and I'm not going to say they sound better, but I think they look a little more appealing. So they've really taken off. Whereas I don't know if Mayton's sort of grown much over the last few years, but it's always interesting going to those places. I went to the Cole Clark factory, and it wasn't huge, but I know the Mayton one, which is not far from there, is. Well, I haven't been in there, but I know how big it is. I used to live right around the corner from it. So, it's crazy. I've seen some video tours of a few different factories, and, man, it's amazing how big some of these places are. And yeah, it's just crazy how large and how many staff are working and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure in the States you got plenty to go look. So maybe you can do an interstate road trip or something one time and head up to Kalamazoo. Go see the Gibson factory or whatever it is up there.
Yeah, actually, it's down for me. It's in Tennessee, right? I think it's in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. It used to be Kalamazoo. I think that's Heritage or something now, isn't it? Heritage Guitars? Or I always get them confused. But anyway, yeah, cool.
It would be a neat road trip. It really would.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Maybe next trip I do, I'm going to see if I can maybe do some tour videos or something. That'd be good fun. All right, so we've got Mark Love here. Howdy, man. Welcome. And I got the note. Lenart says, I got the notification on my phone for the live stream. I need to wake up in 3.5 hours, but I can never miss this one. So if you want to join, I've actually posted the link to save the spam bot thing. I've posted the links on my Facebook page. So If you'd like to join on the Hangout itself, you can click on that. Just make sure you pause the YouTube video or mute it. That way you're not going to get any feedback loops. So Mark says, have I played any Soldano amps? I haven't. I've seen a couple around over the years, but never actually given them a shot. Not because I didn't want to. I think I just didn't get a chance to play them. But, yeah, I'll have to check into those. So we've got 650 Thunderbird from Australia. How are you, man? And, all right, so we got Matt asked another question. He said, just got a Fender Blues DeVille. Very nice. As a gift, pros and cons.
Ooh.
All right, so pros, it sounds great. It looks cool. Yeah, that would be, you know, and they sound, they got a big, big sound. The cons is it weighs a ton. They're so heavy, man. They're so heavy. I don't know if you've ever picked up a DeVille before, Steve, but have you ever tried lifting one of those?
I did happen to see one of my local guitar center, and I walked over, and unfortunately it was at a height where you had to bend over to get to it, and as I started to pick it up, the back says, I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, I thanked the guy and said, you know, no, I'm cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's my test now. Anytime I go to play an amp or I'm looking at an amp, if I can't lift it, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Blues DeVille sound really good. They got 410s. They're a lot like the Super Reverb, except they're physically a little bit bigger like them. They're not as slim as the Super Reverb. The actual enclosures or whatever it's called, the box is bigger. So, and they do weigh a little bit more. But I guess if you can get a trolley and wheel it around to gigs and all that kind of stuff, you know, just to save your back, you're going to be fine. That's what I do with my heavy amps. I just bought like a $20 trolley and I wheel it around and fold up the trolley, put it in my car, or dolly, as they say in the US.
Dolly trolley.
Yeah. And yeah, so no, they're good amps. They're definitely good amps.
That gets back to that.
Sorry, Steve.
That gets back to that one conversation we had about heavy amps a while back, and I said sometimes they're so heavy you need to like buy a Sherpa along with the amplifier to carry it for you.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's like I played my big amp last night. I had the Super Reverb out, and you know I whinge and moan about getting it in the car because I've only got like a hatchback, so like a 4-door hatchback car, so it's not. It's not huge. I used to have a really big car, which made it easy getting things in and out. But now what I have to do is I'll whinge and moan about getting it in there. But once I get it to the gig and or out of the car and I wheel it in, it's the best. You can't go past like big amps or at least, you know, single 12 big, you know, big sounding amps. I love it. So it's definitely worth the wait and the hassle sometimes. So in terms of your Blues DeVille, man, yeah, you're definitely going to be loving that. I don't see any cons other than, you know, the weight of it, which might not even be a problem for you. There's a lot of people in the most part are a lot stronger than me.
And younger than me.
Yeah, yeah, and probably younger than me too. A lot of the time now I'm getting there. So what do we got here? Lenart says, how lucky am I lately? I got a Yamaha TRH-10C for my birthday, and my dad bought an Eastman T486B. I don't actually know what that guitar is, but I'm going to look it up. I don't know if I've demoed that or not. Let's have a look here.
Man, those little familiar.
Nah, they're Eastman make good stuff. They're kind of like Gibson guitars, but they're made in Korea, maybe. Let's see if I can share this screen here with the folks. Let's see if we can get this working.
Ah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's something else, hey.
Ah.
It's got P90s, it looks like. Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Very 335-ish.
Yeah. So they make, is that the same one? T486B. Yeah, so it looks like they got humbucker versions and P90s as well, maybe.
Like the sunburst finish.
Yeah, that's actually really nice. You know what? When I bought my 335 years ago, I never used to really like any other color than red. But it's funny, now I'm starting to like all the other colors more. I don't know what's going on. And I really like this blonde color as well. This has grown on me a bit as well. I really like this this kind of color. this natural sort of finish. It looks like $1 million. They all look good. So, yeah, very cool.
Your red one looks good on your videos too, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a classic. I love that. I definitely love that guitar. But, yeah, it's just funny now. Some of the those old school tobacco burst kind of colors and the natural just, I guess it's just different. You know, you always want what you don't have or whatever. Yeah. You got a blonde, you want a brunette or whatever. All right. So Guy says, for weight, have you tried the new neodymium speakers? Yeah, I used to use them a lot, actually. I used to have a Celestion G12 Vintage, I think it was called. And they sound really, really good. I can't complain with them. And I know amp makers like DV Mark making their bass stuff out of, or their bass speakers out of those cones, and they sound really good. All right. So, yeah, congrats on that guitar, man. That's really nice. So we got Chiao, I think it's pronounced. Could be wrong. Says he's from Brazil, so welcome. What do we got here? Danny says, I would love a JHS. I don't know if that's supposed to say double barrel or he's just made a typo here. Let me have a look. There's always interesting stuff. Yeah, it was supposed to be done. Oh, okay. Sorry, it's not making much sense. I'm just rambling to myself here. I'll share this with the folks. So this looks like a pretty cool pedal. JHS double barrel.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's that's pretty cool. It's got the shotgun on there. That's the insides, I suppose. So, yeah, JHS make great stuff. They're expensive, but they're good. It's one of those things. Anyway, yeah, I've never heard of that one before. It definitely looks good. So I guess it just looks like two overdrives or distortions, maybe the same type. Let's have a look here. Yeah, it looks like it could just be... okay. It's an 808, so an overdrive, typical Tube Screamer on this side, and a Morning Glory, which is one of the best pedals I had a chance to test on that side. So that'd be fun. All right, cool. See if we can get my hands on one of them at some point. Yeah, cool. All right, so Nick says, give us a shout to Iowa in the US. We love your show. Hey, Nick, thanks for watching, man. And
hello, yeah. Iowa.
Steve's actually from he's from New Jersey, so we've got two folks in here. If you'd like to join, I can't actually post the link in the chat here, but you can go over to facebook.com/intheblues and find the link there just to make sure that we don't get spammed. I hope that works. So we'll see. It's been all right lately doing it the new way, so yeah, we haven't had too many problems the last probably 6 months or so. Or no, maybe not that long, but a while. So, did you try any Mad Professor pedals? Yeah, I've got a few demos on my channel of Mad Professor stuff, but it is good. But yeah, so what did you buy recently? Did you get like a blue? No, you got a phaser pedal or something, did you? Or flanger?
Steve? I got a phaser. Remember, okay, I was joking. My wife was concerned that I said I brought home a phaser, and I promised her I'd keep it unstunned.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, Shane, I watch as many as your podcasts and your posts as you can. You were talking about Zex coils a while back.
Yeah.
You like those?
Yeah, they're great. I mean, in terms of noiseless Strat pickups or hum-free Strat pickups, they're the best. They're by far, like, better. They're just the best sounding. Like, the ones I had were more of a modern sound. So it'd be kind of comparable to what I got in my Strat now in terms of tone, but they don't buzz. So there's certain places where I can't use it. Like, last night I had to stay on the in-between positions on my Strat because I didn't have the hum cancelling pickups. with the Zex coil pickups, you don't have that problem at all. And they still sound very, very Strat. They sound more Strat than, I'd say, a lot like even the Fender noiseless pickups and all of those other ones. I've had all of them. I've had all of the Fender noiseless, and I've had a whole lot of different hum-canceling pickups from other companies like D'Allen's and you name it. I've tried them all. And the Zex coils easily are the best Strat-sounding pickups. I don't think that particular pickup would work as well in a Tally, in my opinion, so I kept the Bartons in mind. But, yeah, no, they're really good. I don't really want to mod my Strat, though, right now. It's not a guitar I'm going to be playing all the time. But I love the way it sounds, and, you know, I don't want to start messing with it already because I haven't had a Strat that sounded this good before. And it's a combination of things, I think. It could just be the hardware's better than my old one, or it's just that, you know, I don't know. It could just be a few things, but it feels good to play and it sounds great. And last thing I want to do is kind of start ripping pickups in and out of it. And I think I made the mistake with my last Strat of putting like six different sets of pickups in there over about 6 years. I didn't like any of the ones I had before the Zex coil. So I tried them all, man. I tried all kinds of single coils, Abigail, Yubara, underwound pickups, and then I tried, you know, D'Allen pickups, and I put Fenders in there, and I just couldn't get the sound I was looking for. But the new one sounds the way I wanted. But if you had any questions in particular about them, let me know. But they're really cool. They are really cool, those Zex coils. But
and it's just that, you know, I heard you speak highly of them. And if you say they out Fender Fender, that says a lot right there.
Also, they're leagues ahead of the Fender noiseless pickups. There's no comparison. I reckon Fender noiseless pickups are some of the most uncharacterful, if even that's a word, but they just have no character compared to a lot of other pickups. They're not crap, but when you've got a comparison, you'll go, oh wow, listen to the difference. It's night and day. It really is. It's almost like the difference between Fender noiseless pickups and regular Fender single coils. They sound worlds apart, in my opinion, and Zex coils are very much that kind of difference, but without any buzz. So, yeah, they're really quite great. I got a question here, actually, I just want to answer quickly. Sorry, man. Someone asked... Guy says, did your documentary do as well as you had hoped? Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm happy with the hits it's had. It's had probably 5,000 or 6,000 or more hits, maybe 7,000. I can't really remember. It's up there. Last time I checked, it's doing pretty well. I mean, there's things about it I wish I had have asked a few other questions, and that's always that hindsight thing. You don't want to be rude, and you don't want to sort of dig too deep with stuff sometimes, but overall I think it went over pretty well. It got shared by a lot of companies as well. I had some friends share it, like Anthony from Texas Blues Alley shared it out. I got a couple of companies that also sent it out on their Twitter feed and all that kind of thing as well. So it's funny that Fender didn't retweet it. I really thought they might, because you know, there's probably like 80 or 90 grand worth of amps, all Fender amps in that video that were from them. So I really thought they might be interested in sharing it out, but I don't think they retweet a lot of stuff, which is disappointing. They just sort of, they're a one-way street, you know? So I'm happy. It got a lot of shares. It got a lot of likes. People left a lot of constructive comments and positive comments as well. I would assume it did well, and I'm happy with it. But there's always time to start thinking about the next one. So sorry, Steve. Yeah, we were talking about the pickups, man. Did you need to ask me anything in particular?
No. The only other thing I was going to mention, and you started to touch on a little bit too, Anthony from Texas Blues Alley, has on one of his posts, he appears to be so enamored with them. He said that this is all I'm putting in my guitars.
Yeah,
and I can see why.
Yeah,
everything I've seen him do since then, I can see the Zex coils in his Strat.
Yeah, when you're like recording and you're doing like he's a professional guitar teacher and his setup's professional, and you know, and from what I do here at home, I can't really have a lot of pickups that buzz. It's really off-putting, and it's normal, but a lot of people don't want to hear, you know, single coil Harmon videos. They just expect everyone's got a perfect recording situation. So ideally, if I was to get another Strat, I'd put Zex coil pickups in and use them for demos. But I'm lucky. I've got, you see, when I do use my Strat on my videos, this room, when I've got my lighting set up and my computers are on and all that kind of stuff, you do get a bit of buzz on the neck. But I'm lucky with this one, I can actually put it in between and get some of that noise cancelling stuff going on. So I'll sit on those a lot. So there's ways around it. But yeah, for him, it's just, it sounds better for his production quality if, you know, he's buzz free. And he actually sent me a set of those. So Anthony posted out a set, and then Scott from Zex Coil said, oh, you got a right-handed set in your Strat, which I didn't realize he voiced them that way around. So he sent me out another set, and I gave the first set to a friend of mine, and he put them in his Strat, and he loves them. So yeah, they're definitely good. And for that modern, hot, overwound Stevie Ray sound, you know, that's what Anthony does extremely well. So
that's what he's into, Stevie Ray. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great. It's fantastic for his type of sound. It absolutely is. All right. So Mark says, Shane, can you ask Steve when he was at the Martin factory, if he saw a huge room where they had exotic woods all locked up under temperature control?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. they don't bring you close to it because, you know, again, it's their high-end wood. And I think there's what little legal Brazilian walnut rosewood you can still have. They've even got it with a purple mark on the documentation that said that, you know, that they had fulfilled all the hoops and everything they had to jump through to bring their rosewood into the States. And they dole it out very, very miserly. Yeah, but, you know, the entire factory, when you walk in, you're immediately impressed with the temperature and the humidity. The entire factory is the same temperature every place. The other thing I'd like to say about the factory, it was immaculate, you know, given the fact that, you know, they're shaving wood and everything else. The place is very, very clean. I even commented to the young lady that was doing the tour with us because, you know, I expected to see, you know, wood shavings and, you know, everything that you might anticipate to come with that. But the place was whistle clean.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, that's one thing that I think I noticed at the Cole Clark factory as well, which isn't probably anywhere near the same scale as the Martin factory, but yeah, it was pretty tidy. I was really surprised. That's a good sign of someone, I guess, a company being organized at least. Anyway,
hey Shane, here's a thought.
Yeah.
If you ever make another trip back to the States, and if you wanted to do a video of the Martin factory, let me know, dude. We'll hook up. I'll come with you.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man. No, that'd be fun. That'd be good. I definitely want to see. You know, I really wanted to go back this year to the States. I'm just a little put off at the moment. There's some weird stuff going on all around the world, and it's just, I kind of feel like I'm not as inspired to go right now. I don't know. I know it's pretty rare something bad's going to happen wherever you're at, but, you know, that Orlando thing happened not far from where I normally stay, and it's like, you know, there's some weird stuff going on right now or just around the world, some crazy people. So it's kind of just put me off going a little bit. It's so cheap to go right now too. So it's like, for me, I can get there and back for $800, which is crazy cheap. Like, usually it'd be over $2,000. So
really?
Yeah, it's.
And that's a hell of a flight from you to me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's great. Well, that's the San Francisco or LA and back. So to get to wherever else I got to go, I have to tack that on, but it's extremely cheap. So it might have to happen still. I'll just see. I've been putting some money aside, which has been good again for doing this daytime gig for the next couple more weeks. And I should be able to save up a few more bucks. So,
well, if you ever decide to do it, you know, give me a shout, because I'm sure we could come up with some sort of logistics. And as I said, if you wanted to go do a video of the factory, you know, contact them ahead of time. You know, let them know what an important YouTube guy you are, and your American friend, you know, that lives in the next state is going to come with you. I'd be good to go. I'd love to go take the tour again. It was pretty interesting.
All right, no, I'll keep that in mind. No, I appreciate that. Thanks. Yeah, no, it'd be good to sort of meet up with a few folks as well that we chat to regularly, and that'd be great, man. Be cool. Thanks.
We could work out the logistics, I'm sure.
Yeah, no worries. No, I appreciate that, mate. Cheers. So Aggiefish says, I'm waiting for my laundry to finish. I'll try joining the stream when I have clean shirts and a pair of pants. Yeah, don't forget your pants, man. they definitely need to be on unless your camera stops here. all right, so we got what was the next question? Oh, yeah. So Eric says, sorry if you've answered this already, but any plans to return to the States, maybe to Jerry's? Well, that's, exactly what we're talking about. If I do go, I'll definitely be going to Jerry's as well in Sarasota, Florida. Just like I mentioned, I just want to hold off at the moment and just wait till less weird stuff is going on. Usually I wouldn't care, but I think I'm getting cautious.
No, you're not the only one there, because the wife and I have been going to Mexico for like a week during the summer for the last 4 or 5 years. This year, we both looked at each other and we said, nah, not this year.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
No, it's definitely nothing really that bad's happened in Australia yet. You know, everything's happening everywhere else. So I guess it's only a matter of time before some crazy bastard does something stupid.
Well, the world is always mad at us. You know, it's hard to be angry with kangaroos. And wallabies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's more, I think, you know, well, anyway, yeah, it's a whole other topic. I think it's just, it's just bad. It's just bad. Hopefully nothing crazy happens here. But, I guess we're lucky in a way. We are pretty remote in terms of we're the only place in the world. I guess we've got all the deadliest spiders and snakes, but we don't really have any we don't have any earthquakes. We have very few you know, natural disasters. Like we have hurricanes and stuff, but nothing like on the scale of, we get floods, but we don't really have any earthquakes, and we don't have guns, and we don't, you know, we're so far away from everyone else. I think we're kind of lucky with a lot of things like that. We're not joined to really any other country other than New Zealand, and well, not joined, but you know, that's our closest neighbor. So we don't really have anything to worry about with them, but yeah. It's crazy. All right. So Lenart actually says, maybe this is off topic, but deaths related to terrorist attacks decreased a lot compared to 15 years ago. No, you could be right. I mean, I remember back in the early 90s, I think it was. I could be wrong. I was pretty young then, but like Ireland was always having problems with car bombings, and it's like it was every other weekend, you know. So I guess there were... statistically, there might be less problems, but I think globally, maybe there's more. I don't know. So the Jeb dude says, come to Memphis, home of the Blues. Yeah, that's one place I definitely want to go. That's on my list. So, whoa, boom, shakalaka says, have you still got the electronic drums? Nice name, by the way, man. You just wanted me to say that, I'm sure. But no, I don't have it anymore. When I got a Mac, I've got... what's it called? GarageBand, which has all kinds of drum beats. I downloaded like 8 gigs of drum beats, and I'm sorted. It plays drums better than I could ever hope to. So, I don't have them anymore. I freed up some space. All right. So Derek Down Under says, hey, Shane, just wanted to let you know that the Clone Centaur is awesome. Awesome, man. I'm glad you're enjoying it. Another friend of mine bought one off me last night. And he loves it. He just said he's got a plimsoll, and he said, I reckon I'm just going to use the Clone on its own. So that's cool. So I've been selling these clones basically on my web shop, and they've been flying out the door. They're so good. And actually, this is a great topic, because last night my friend Ryan actually has an original Clone. He picked it up when they were, I think he said he paid around $800 or $900 for it back in the, this is a while ago now, but now they're worth way more than that. And yeah, so I'm going to do a video between his original Clon Centaur, my red Clon, that pedal back there, which has a Clon on one side, and the new clone one, which I've got them all boxed up at the moment. But yeah, I reckon there's certain things in the new clones that sound better than the red Clon. So like the legit one. But yeah, I'm glad you're liking it, man. That's cool. They're flying out the door. They're absolutely flying out the door. And appreciate your business too. It always means a lot having stuff heading out of the cupboard. So that's cool. So you got to get on the Clon bandwagon there, Steve.
You know, it's a shame that you're on the other side of the world for me, because I'd order from you in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I'm sure whoever would ship it to us would beat the two of us to death on the shipping charges.
Yeah, I think it's about $30 to ship to the States, give or take. So,
actually, yeah, I'm surprised it's that cheap. I thought it would be more.
No, yeah, it cost me about $30. Like, I usually buy all the – I do send quite a bit overseas. I usually send – a lot of stuff to the Netherlands for some reason. That seems to be like my overseas customer base is there, Canada. And I've sent a lot of smaller pedals to the US, but it's been a while since I've really sent anything out, which is weird because the US dollar is so much stronger than ours. So stuff to buy from Australia is actually cheap, which is a thing a lot of people don't realize. So here's a good question. Oh, actually, I've got lots of good questions here. Let's try Michael's one. He says, hi, Shane. Thanks for your live stream. How does this Zen Drive compare to a Tube Screamer? It's a thicker sound on the most part than the Tube Screamer. The Zen Drive has more of a dumble sound. It's got a big, round, full, real thick lower mids kind of thing going on, and it's super smooth. The Tube Screamer's got a bit more... a little bit more bite, maybe, and it sounds more like the amp. Oh no, hang on. It sounds. It's hard to compare them. They're both great, but they're both very different. If you're into straight sort of blues stuff and classic rock, a Tube Screamer would be my choice. If you're into Robin Ford and Larry Carlton, and you're into sort of fusion or jazz or all that kind of bit of everything. Probably the Zen Drive would be the way to go. They're both really nice. Like my friend Brian, he prefers the Zen Drive over a Tube Screamer because that's his style of playing, whereas I'm more of a straight ahead blues kind of guy. So I kind of prefer the Tube Screamer, but they're both great. Sorry, Steve, I'll just take a few of these questions here so people are
sure, nice, man. I'm not here to suck up your time.
Hey, no, that's all good. I'm not ignoring you. All right. So, Augustine says, what do you recommend for a home studio, a Mac or a PC? Either. If you've already got a PC and it's decent, then just stick with that. I don't see any benefit to go buying a Mac. Unless you want to start fresh and go for it. I use my Mac for all my video editing. I use my PC for all my audio production. And the only reason I do that is because I've already got the software on my PC and I don't want to learn anything new again. I've just done that with my video editing. So there's lots of great software for PC, for audio, that will do exactly what you need it to do without breaking the bank. There's programs like Reaper that you can get into. There's, you know, other programs like Cubase, Nuendo. You can get Pro Tools on both if that's what you want to do, but you generally have to buy hardware that supports it, I think, or it comes with hardware or something like that, Pro Tools. I don't use it. I use Cubase or /Nuendo. Just work with what you got. If you need to upgrade your computer, the CPU is probably the most important thing when you're doing audio work. You need a pretty decent CPU if you're going to be running plugins and all that kind of stuff. Like my first generation i7, which I've got on the floor down here, has absolutely nothing in terms of benchmarks compared to my i5 current generation Skylark CPU that's in the Mac. They're generations apart, literally. So what you can get in an i5 these days will be way better than the old i7s from the old days. So, yeah, I recently upgraded another computer for a reasonable amount of money without spending too much. And I put the latest AMD CPU in that, and that's my live stream rig. But when I get sorted out, it's actually going to be my audio engineering rig as well, because it's just fantastic. So either's fine. If you've already got one or the other, just work with that.
I think the only problem that I'm aware of that people with PCs have had has been Windows 10. It seems like when they've upgraded to it, they push the start button and then say a bunch of bad words after it because it just doesn't go as advertised.
No, you're right. You know, I just upgraded an old computer, put a new motherboard, RAM and CPU in there. I upgraded to Windows 10 and the computer turned itself off about 5 minutes after I powered it. It just turned itself off. Like, I ended up reinstalling Windows 7. It was fine.
I'm done.
Yeah, so it's crazy, man. My laptop upgraded to Windows 10 and it takes forever to start. Whereas my other desktop is awesome. So yeah, it's one of those things. And so Aggie Fish brings up a good point. He says, if you can put a computer together, a Hackintosh is great. So this is my other bag of knowledge is computers and nerdery. So basically, a Hackintosh is all Apple certified parts you can put together in a PC box, basically in a normal, you know, case, and then you can install the Apple operating system on there. So, yeah, that's actually a really good way of doing things. There's a list. There's actually a website that has a list of all the Apple certified parts that work for these Hackintosh things. I think installing them's a little bit. Or installing the operating system can be a little bit tricky if you haven't done it before, but that might be worth doing. If good call there, Aggie Fish. Cheers, man. All right, so Rummy73 says, what pedal or amp sounded great alone but weak in a band mix? And what was the pedal? What made the pedal? What was? Oh, maybe. Okay, sorry, let's start this question again. I think there's a couple of typos here. So what amp sounded great alone or weak in a band mix? I don't know. I'd say the Egnator Rebel 30 that I had was probably the weakest amp in a live situation that sounded fantastic on its own. And that's probably because of the speaker cabinets weren't very good. That's the one that sounds to me like, or jumps out at me as being probably the most average of the ones that I've had. But at home, they sounded like $1 million. Another one would be probably, to some extent and not to all extent, but without pedals, the Vox AC15 doesn't really cut or cuts, but it doesn't have a lot of mids. If you're using it without pedals, you lack that mid bump you need that a Tube Screamer brings. So if you're using a Tube Screamer with a Vox, it rocks. You just need a pedal to fill out that middle ground in terms of the sound. So, yeah, that's all I can think of. And probably maybe a Blues Junior.
Hey, here's Hutch.
Hey. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Hutch.
How are you? I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, cool.
Another Jersey guy.
Yeah, they're all coming out of the woodwork today.
You got to watch these Jersey guys, man. They're capable of anything.
The what, sorry?
Got to watch these Jersey guys. They're capable of anything.
Yeah, well, it's the home of the mob, man. They're you gotta watch your back.
You've heard the expression Jersey wise guys.
yeah, that's it. So, Aggiefish says you can use a more powerful graphics cards than Apple currently uses. Yeah. So I guess the benefit of using a Hackintosh style computer would be you can put better hardware in it. Yeah. One thing I've learned about changing over from a PC to a Mac that it's not all about hardware specs. That definitely helps, but one thing that makes, in my opinion, the Apple... I'm just going to mute Jerry over here for a sec. There we go. One thing I've learned about Apple is their software is optimized for their hardware, basically, which isn't the case a lot of the time for PCs. So you'll find that even though the specs on paper aren't as strong with the Mac, I can output files on my Final Cut Pro within minutes as opposed to hours like it used to take on my PC. So, I definitely think the hardware specs is one thing, but it's also the practicality of how well it works with the software, and that's one thing Mac or Apple leaves the PC for dead. I'm yet to find any program on a PC that I've ever had that renders files as fast and works as well with the GPU and CPU and all the software as well as what it does right now for my Mac. And I'm not a Mac guy. I'm a PC guy. I'm a certified Microsoft nerd. So, hey, North of 50 Nows here. Howdy, man. He says, hey, Retro Gamer. That's my other channel. I started another YouTube channel called Shane Retro Gamer. It's like just going over all the old school games as I was growing up. So Jerry, I had to mute you, man. Your speakers were a little loud or something. I could hear you coming back at us. So I'll unmute you now. Sorry about that. You there?
Yeah, I'm here. But if you need to mute me, that's fine. I can mute myself.
No, it's all good. It's fine now, man. I thought I could hear myself coming back, and I wasn't sure if it was you or Steve, but he's wearing headphones.
I have Comcast. It's like the best internet in the world.
Yeah, we don't have any of those companies here. I hear horror stories about some of them.
And I'm using the mute button on my Yeti here when I'm not talking, so.
Okay, yeah, cool.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm muting it.
Okay, cool. No, it sounds fine now. I'm not too sure. Sometimes the Hangouts are a bit funky when you first join. You can hear weird stuff, and then it settles back down. So it's all good. So I did send out the link to everyone. Sorry, Hutch. Did you mute or?
I did mute it.
Oh, okay, cool. I was just thinking, oh no, did I mute you again by accident there?
Cool. I'm doing it from here.
Cool. How's things with you, man? How's your guitar playing? How's your new tally treating you?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it all.
Cool.
I'm nowhere near, good, great like you.
I don't know about that, mate, but thanks.
you play a pretty mean tally, I'll tell you. And that taco that you had, Takai, that's the one with the P90s in it. That's a really sweet guitar, too.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I love that thing. I played it last Sunday, and it screams. I really love it. I really love it. Thanks. Yeah, I remember you showed us that Telecaster a couple of months back, and it was, it was a sight to be seen, man. It was beautiful.
Yeah, she sounds pretty nice, too.
Have you got it near you at all?
No, but I have a different one.
Yeah, what do you got?
It's not a tally, though.
That's all right. Is this new, or is this one you've had for a while?
No, all of these I've had for... Well, I started late in life, so... let me get you on the screen here.
That's right. Oh, yeah, cool, man.
It's white. I don't know if you can see how well it is, but... It's made by Epiphone.
Is that one of those Nighthawk ones? Is that what they're called? Night something?
No, it's not a Nighthawk. It's okay. The limited edition Wilshire.
Okay, I might look that up.
Rosewood fretboard. It doesn't have the push-pull. It's the original. Some of them have push. The new one's called the Pro and has push-pull on the volumes and the tones.
Okay.
But this one is just the... to the back. This is my cheapest guitar, believe it or not.
Yeah, they look good.
I put P90s in it instead of the humbucker that it came with.
Are they P90s, are they?
Yeah, they're Gibson P90s.
Yeah, wow. Sitting in there. Yeah, I bet you that screams, man. That'd be great.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I haven't actually seen that before, that guitar. I thought it was like one of the Nighthawks, but it's definitely not old. I've just bought up the...
Yeah, it's old school.
Yeah, I like it. Nice and simple.
Has that bat wing headstock on it?
Yep.
You see, the one you have up there right now is the Pro?
Yep.
And the Pro has push-pull tone controls.
Okay.
This one doesn't.
Yeah.
This is an original limited edition. But it's, you know, it's not an old guitar. It's not a vintage. It's, I think it was made in 2009.
Yeah, very nice. No, I don't think I've ever really seen one of these in person. Very, very cool.
It sounds great. It's mahogany.
Yeah.
Rosewood fretboard. And Gibson P90s I threw in there.
This one looks interesting, too. They've got a...
positioned right.
Oh, hang on. Let me click back to you. Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, very cool.
That's what I got sitting here right now.
Nice. What's that Tweed amp behind you?
The
one on the ground? Or maybe it's not Tweed, but it looks like there's an amp to your left on the floor.
Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff here. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the lower right of your screen.
I definitely had gas, and I had to stop.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have you can't see it because it's sideways, but I have a Bugera 55-watt V55 Infinium head.
Boom.
With a Bugera 2x12 vintage cabinet, the 140-watt one. And then I've got a solid-state Marshall over there. That's probably what you're looking at.
No, there's one below that. It looks like it's towards the bottom right.
Over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Okay, that's my PV 115. I've got it on slanted because I got to take photographs of it so I can sell it. I love the amp. It's the best amp I own.
Yeah.
But I have a new neighbor. And it is loud. So, and it doesn't sound good unless you crank it.
Yeah.
You know, you get an amp like that with a 15-inch speaker in there and all, you got to crank it, you know.
They are good. My friend's got one of them, and they sing.
I don't know if you're going to be able to see this. Can you see what I'm holding here?
Is it a Bugera?
Yeah, it's a G5. That one I was telling you about the earphone, it's a 5-watt. You take it down to 1 watt or a 0.1 watt. And even at 1 watt, it sounds really nice. But you got a headphone on it. And it's a tube amp. It has one tube power tube and one preamp tube. Mm-hmm. But for home use, it's really sweet.
Cool. Oh, beautiful. It's always good having an amp with you can hook up some headphones too. There's no doubt about that. Sorry, I just got a couple of questions here. Where was it? So Leonard Guitar says, Shane, are your hangouts always at this time? I'd like to join, but it's 3 a.m. right now. It's funny. I haven't done a live stream, like a hangout for a while. Because I've been working and I've had weekends as sort of like downtime. But what I'll do, I've got 2 more weeks of that left and then I'm done for the rest of the year. So I should be able to make time at different times of the day. So maybe we'll work a time that I might try late my time, which will be like maybe 9 or 10 p.m. here. So, you know, 12 hours from now should be afternoon in your part of the world. Excuse me, sorry, just had some drinks. But as in soft drinks. But so I'll plan on doing a few others. I do those improv live streams from the lounge room every now and then as well. But maybe we can make one of them like a a hangout at a different time of the day. So it just, this kind of works for me. I can do it in the morning here, and then I've still got the whole rest of the day to get everything else I need to get done, finished. So, but yeah, no, I see how it might make it hard to join.
Yeah, when you're doing this globally like that, you know, the time difference from one place to another makes it almost impossible, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
unless you do it on some sort of rotating basis, maybe.
Yeah, well, that's it. It just comes down to when the best time of the, you know, it's just, yeah, it just comes down to when works as well. I don't want to get stuck. Like, I've started a live stream once at about 11 o'clock, and it went through till really late, but it was packed. So, you know, I think afternoon might be a better time, or evening here might be a better time for most people. I don't know. I'm not too sure what time it is in New Jersey at the moment, but I'm guessing it'd be probably
we're 14 hours behind you. It's almost 9 o'clock here. Almost 2100.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So yeah. Well, yeah. I'll try it at a different time next time. We'll see how we go. It might mean it works for some people and not others, but it's always good having different people join if they can. So yeah. We'll give it a run.
Steve, were you a military man?
What makes you ask, I wonder?
2100.
2100, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, once upon a time. Back in the ugly days, Southeast Asia.
Oh, wow.
You and me both.
Yeah. I was Laos, 72.
Fubai. 71, 72.
Yeah, we probably flew over each other. Hey, Hatch, hey, man. I'll see you in 40 years, dude.
Yeah. Man, yeah, far out. There would have been some intense times. All right.
Some good times, though, too.
Yeah?
I know that it sounds weird, but it's true.
Cool.
I can't say the same.
Yeah.
I was a medic, so.
I was a corpsman.
So was I.
I was a Navy corpsman.
Yeah, I was an Army medic.
Yeah. Same job, different branch.
Hmm. Yep. Were you working with the patrol boats?
No, they sent me with Marines. They sent me with any unsavory character that said they. That said, they needed a corpsman with firearm skills. And then all of a sudden, every admiral in the Navy knew my name.
Well, look at it this way. It gives you a good reason to play the blues.
Yeah, really. There we go.
Yeah, cool. There you go.
We'll have to make a song. We'll call it the Myukmong Blues.
There's actually... It actually was a song that John Denver did called The Readjustment Blues.
Really?
Yeah, it was a great song.
Didn't catch it.
Should pull it up on YouTube. I don't know if it's on YouTube, but it wasn't a real popular song, but it's called Readjustment Blues by John Denver.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine John Denver playing anything but sort of country-ish sort of songs.
I don't know what he'd know about readjustment either, but that's, you know. God bless him. Long may he wave.
So we got Tiger Blake is here from Turkey. So, man, we're getting some people from all kinds of corners of the globe right now. We've got a question from Danny. He says, what's my favorite mic for recording amps? I'll write it in for you. It's the Rode M3. It is a great mic for recording guitar amps. That would be my choice. Yeah. Any of you guys done any recording at all over the years? Or?
No, I haven't.
No one would want to hear me play. They just run away, so.
Steve, you and I should really get together sometime.
Well, not that far apart. We probably could.
Yeah, cool. Well, if I make it over, we'll all grab coffee or something. We'll meet up.
Hey, cool. we'll all go to the Martin factory.
Hey, yeah, there you go. Done.
We'll go in as a mob and take over.
That's a good idea, actually.
The the lady at the front desk would be saying, there's two Jersey wide guys that we have out front and another guy with a strange accent I can't quite place.
Yeah. Let's. We were talking about the Martin Factory before. I've got some pictures here. I just want to show some folks because it looks really cool, actually. Where's my screen share gone here?
I've never been there, but I know people that have, and they say that the tour is wonderful.
It is. Yeah, I just took it just last week. Yeah, that's the one where it says C.F. Martin & Company. That's the main entrance to the visitor center.
Yep.
You go in there, and they sign you up for your tour, and they take you around to all the various workstations, and you can just see them making stuff. And I got to tell you, I was so impressed with what I saw being handmade. And, you know, you would think that in an era of, you know, CNC machines and everything else, I got to tell you, man, probably 90% of that guitar is handmade.
Yeah, beautiful. Someone asked me a really good question a little while ago. They asked me if I think American Strats are overpriced. And I justified why they were expensive based on wages and all that kind of stuff, but I then mentioned that I think, like, they're overpriced in comparison to other guitars, like, because they're pretty much all just machine-made, you know, like, I think with these acoustic guitars, there's a lot more hands-on stuff that goes on, and yeah, you're right, if you're saying, like, a big percentage of it is actually handmade, then, yeah, it looks pretty cool, actually. It looks really good, this factory. I'm going to have to... And I'm not that huge into acoustic guitars, but I like seeing stuff like this about how stuff gets made, all that kind of thing. It's
I only have one acoustic, and it's a Martin. It's like Fender. They make some of them in Mexico.
Yep.
And the higher end stuff gets made in the States. And the one I have is like the lower end of the ones made in the States here. But even at that, I paid $1,000 for it like about 8 years ago. But yeah. I got to tell you, it's a beautiful guitar. You know, it just sings especially when you put new strings on it. You actually feel like an art. You actually feel like an artist.
Yeah. Oh, they're beautiful. There's no doubt about it. They make some great stuff. I mean, they're the go-to. They're the the Les Paul or the Strat of or Tally of acoustic guitars. You know, that's what everyone wants is a Martin. I guess Yeah, they're definitely the way to go. Hey, Wayne Whiteside's here. Howdy, Wayne. I didn't see you pop in there, man. Sorry if I've missed you. Oh, yeah, you wrote hello, guys. So Wayne's been on the chat, on the live stream a few times. I keep calling it chat. I don't know why. But he's a great player and a nice guy. So definitely check out his YouTube channel if you want to see him rip the crap out of a song. He's a great, great guitar player. So Steve says the SM58 does a better job, in my opinion. So this is for recording acoustic guitars, recording electric guitar amps. 58s do work fine. 57s work well. There's plenty of good mics out there. I don't know if anyone saw that I picked up a full-blown studio condenser mic for $2.20 off eBay. I got it at starting bid price. And
it sounds great.
It's really good. So I've had a lot of requests to use it to record on an electric guitar amp and maybe some acoustic guitar stuff. So I'll do an actual demo of how it sounds with in a recording situation, because I've watched them now and they're like, there's lots more bids on them. I probably should have kept it a secret for a bit longer and bought a few more, but yeah, they're up around $15-$20 bucks now. It's still worth it. They're still really good, but for $2, man, it was awesome. So I think when you record amps, you can get away. It depends on the situation and the amp too. Like I've had great results with condenser microphones. I've used my Rode NT2 and Rode NT1 a whole lot for recording amps, and they sound fine too. Just depends what sort of sound you want. It's mostly comes down to how the mic's positioned more than what type of mic you're using. So that's just a little tip for the folks that are getting into it.
Shane, you're a Rode fan. Did you ever get a chance to check out that Rode NT USB?
I saw one, what was it, 2 days ago. I went into the music store in the city and they had one, and I went, oh, cool. But, yeah, it looks very, very similar to the Yetis that we're using now, these a similar sort of concept. So,
I think the Yetis are a little more flexible because you got stereo and you can use the cardioid and, you know, the panoramic, you know.
Yeah, I definitely would like to try one, but I don't really need one. I think I just got a. Every time I see a Rode microphone I don't have, I'm like, oh man, I could, you know, I'd love to get it. I'm a huge audio nerd too. I love mics and I love all that kind of stuff, and I always have to. This is how bad it is for me with audio gear. I've had stuff that I've bought and loved and then sold, same much like my guitar collection and whatever else, and then I buy them back. So it's bad. I'll end up, I've had a mic that it was a Rode M2 that I didn't quite give enough time to, I think, of understanding like how to get the best results out of it. And as I watched some videos on it now, I'm like, oh man, I really want one again. I've already had one. Like I need to start writing down on a piece of paper or something like why I sold something, because I end up always coming back to it at some point out of stupidity. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
You did the same thing with your PV Red Stripe, right?
Yeah, three times. It's happened a number of times, man. Like a whole lot of times with a whole lot of amps. I've had, my Blues Deluxe I've had twice. The PV Bandit I've had three times. Same exact amp model, exactly the same one.
I can honestly say I've never sold anything, which is a problem because.
Yeah. It can be good and bad doing that. It can be dangerous in terms of space, but I wouldn't be able to. This room's not that big, but there's no way I'd be able to put all the amps I've honed in here and have room to walk around. There'd be no way. I'd have to stack them. You know, three wide and three high. There'd be 30 amps sitting on the floor. But I guess for me too, I always sold stuff to help pay for something else. That was my thing. So I got in the habit of doing that.
That's the reason why I have these shelves behind me. I'm in a very small room. It's the only way I can get it in.
Yeah. So with the speaking of amps and stuff, the documentary gas video that I did with my friend Dave, he's going to let us borrow a lot of those old school amps for doing some videos. Oh, cool. So Rick and I'll be probably grabbing a handful of those pretty soon, and or doing them at Dave's house. I don't know where we're going to film it yet, but so we're going to try and go through all the amps that were in that video over the course of a couple of days or whatever, and there'll be videos coming out. I haven't started doing that yet. I'm at work until the end of, like, not next week, the week after, and then I'll be back filming properly. I'm only really filming one or two videos a week at the moment, just while I'm doing what I'm doing. And once we get that going, this is going to be great. Some of this stuff is, you know, from the 50s, so it's going to be awesome. There's not enough. Sorry.
It must be Dr. Rex gear.
This is Dave who was in my little gas video that we did. His collection is something else.
I saw that video.
Yeah, he's got 30 odd amps, you know, and
I think we all drooled when we watched that.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that's not all of his gear.
I have that suspicion, yeah.
Yeah.
So I bet you he's got more than that.
Yeah, there's lots of, like, he hints at stuff in the video that he's got. Oh yeah, I got a couple of these Marshall stacks, and I got a couple of this and that. That guitar collection. We couldn't go through them all, man. There was just so many amps, so many guitars. They were just, you know, piled up like in cases one way, and then they were laying on top of each other. And there was just, he had SGs and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I mean, if we could have gone for 2 hours, but that would have been dragging it out probably. So
I'm a bit of a Fender Tweed fan myself, And yeah. Fender just this week is just this week or next week they've got a new 57 reissue lineup coming out, all tweeds.
New champ,
a new single, a pro, and a twin.
Yeah, wow, okay.
And they start at $999 US, and I think the top of the line one goes to $29,999, which is $3,000. They're not fooling anybody.
Don't buy the twin. It's going to be way too loud for you.
Oh, yeah. You know, the twin and even the prone look like it's a bit much, you know, just for home use.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing about twins as well, other than being loud. They're also glued to the floor.
That heavy?
Yeah, yeah. They're unbelievable, man. They're unbelievably heavy. So, hang on. Did you say, 57 twin. So, are these coming out or are they not out at the moment, did you say?
I watched a YouTube video done by Shane, I forget his name. He's one of the Fender Mahi Mahis who walks around to all the shows.
He was
saying that I think they were supposed to be out on the shelves. They said the video was about 2 weeks ago, and he said they were just starting to ship then, and they would come up on the website in August. So yeah, this is something real fairly new for them, and I have the feeling that these amps are real close to the Eric Clapton signature amps that they were doing a couple of years back.
Yeah, yeah. You'd probably save a few bucks from not having that little signature on the bottom of it.
Little EC on it, yeah.
Yeah. They're actually pretty cool amps, those Eric Clapton amps. They're all right. If you like that old school tweed sound, they're pretty cool. Pretty cool. But that's great, man. I hadn't heard of them. So I've been a little bit out of the loop the last few weeks, so... Yeah, very cool. All right, let me just check what we've missed here. Has it a thin line? Oh, so Wayne says a thin line tally is thinner than a regular tally. I've never played one. Yeah, no, they're pretty much the same dimensions. They'll be a little bit lighter, but that's about it. They're basically the same thing just with air folds. A mate of mine's got the 72, I think it's a 72 Mexican one, and it's they look like $1 million as well.
Semi-hollow, right?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're really nice. I'll bring them up. I know they make a single coil one as well, which I don't know if they still do that or not, but let me share this here.
I know Daryl Hall does a web thing called Live at Daryl's House, and that's what he plays on all of his shows. It's that's it.
Yeah, that's the one my friend's got. There's a
Telecaster thin line. Yeah.
Yeah. Now the one thing to be wary of, I think that this is just my opinion. I think the neck pickups on these sound a bit muddy when you're playing past sort of like the 12th fret. It gets a little woolly or muffled sounding. The bridge pickup's fine, and middle's fine as well. Something about the neck pickups on these, I don't know, I'm not 100% sold on the tone of them, but I know you can get also these single coil ones as well, like this. Oh, that's a classic vibe, believe it or not. It looks awesome, but there you go. There's a 72 style thin line with...
I think the one he plays has single coils in it.
Yeah, that'd be based off the, yeah. Oh, there's one with P90s too. That's pretty cool. There you go. Wayne, grab this one, man. I'd love to hear it. that's a killer. P90s are they're great, man. They're such a beefy sound. What guitar do you play again, Steve? I've got a really bad memory for this stuff sometimes.
That's okay. With all the people you talk to, I'm surprised you remember anything. I've got an Eric Clapton signature Strat.
Beautiful.
A black.
Very nice.
And I've got an American Standard Tele with the three color burst on it.
Yeah.
And I've got a Mexican made Tele. It's a Deluxe Nashville. It's actually got three pups in it.
Yeah.
the Bridge and Neck are Texas specials, and the third middle pickup is a Texas Strat pickup, and it's got a five-way switch on it, and you know it's interesting.
Beautiful. Does it what color is the one you've got? Is it like a butterscotch sort of color, or is it a sunbursty sort of color?
No, you know they I saw descriptions that they were saying they were calling it butterscotch, but dude, it's not butterscotch. It's like I think the name they really do call it is honey blonde.
It's almost
a beige color.
Yeah, I've got it here. I think it's this one
with the maple neck. Yeah, that's the one.
Man, that looks awesome.
and I tell you what I didn't really realize it when I bought it is that the body wood is ash.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't really notice that it actually weighed a little bit differently until I got the American standard telly, which is alder. And it's not so much that it's heavier, but the balance is different.
The one thing that you find one neck heavier than the other, or.
I find the American standard, it's a little more, it's a little heavier, and the stock end seems to want to droop a little bit more than the Tex-Mex does. But the one thing, I really didn't want to buy it when I saw it in the Guitar Center because I hated that tortoiseshell pickguard.
Yeah.
Dude, I absolutely hated it. I mean, I bought the guitar walking out saying to myself, you know, what's important is how it sounds.
Yeah.
What's important is how much you like playing with it. And I just wandered around on the internet, and I found a black pick guard for it, and I took that tortoise thing off. And it looks to me, anyhow, to my eye, it looks a whole lot better without that tortoiseshell thing on it. It went from, like, you know, I didn't want to look at it. You know, I closed my eyes and play it because the sound was cool. But I hated the look of it. But when I changed the pickguard to black, it turned it into another guitar altogether.
Yeah, I've never really seen a Tally with, or any guitar that's this color with that sort of pickguard. I've seen this pickguard looks great on sort of like a darker. Actually, I had the picture there before. I used to really.
Yeah, they do it as like a sunburst model also.
I reckon that looks pretty cool on
that's
this.
That's it. Yeah. Now, the funny thing is the sunburst color is an alder body.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So and that's the black pickguard, basically, on that guitar. I think
that's,
I found it.
That's pretty much what it looks like now, yeah.
Yeah,
put a
cool,
black
man.
Pickguard on it. You know, and it just looks so much, to me, it looks so much better than the tortoiseshell pickguard on it. I hate tortoiseshell, period.
Yeah. What do they call it? Mother of toilet seat. Some of the other colors they've got.
I'm sure they've got some wonderful names for it.
cool. I tell you, I like the Swamp Ash sound though. I don't have one, but a friend of mine had a Les Paul that was Swamp Ash, and it really did change the tonal quality of the guitar.
It does change it a little bit, Hutch. Between both guitars. There is a slight different. There's a difference in the sound of them, but you also got to remember too. You know, we're going with a modestly priced Mex versus the American standard. You know, American standard has slightly better parts in it. The neck on the Tele-Mex is a good neck. It's got a nice feel to it. It's not sharp. It doesn't bite you at all. You know. It's a satin on the fretboard and the neck. So hand position changes is real easy. You know, it's not like some of these things where you think you got your hands stuck in Velcro. You know, you want to change chords or something, and they're like, I can't get it to move. But there is a difference between the two of them. I favor the American-made one slightly. You know, I mean, I don't have anything against Mexico. You know, I vacation in Mexico. I like Mexicans. I know we're going to build a wall, but what the hell? There's a significant difference in price. I think when I bought the Mex, I think I paid $599 for it. And of course, when I bought the American Standard, that was like $1,299. You know, so yeah. I mean that it's a big difference in price. But the American one just felt like it had already been played somehow. You know, I mean, the edges on the neck were rolled over for you. It was just nicer.
Yeah, maybe and a little more finesse on the
finish. Honestly understand. When I play my Gibson is the only, and I didn't buy it, it was a gift, but my Gibson is the only American-made guitar I have, and it really does make a difference. I'm not saying you can't get top-of-the-line guitars somewhere else, but then you get in the same kind of price category.
Well, you know, you hear Shane talk about his Strat that he bought. That's a Mexican Strat, but, you know, I don't look down at Mexican vendors. You know, they're less expensive. Some of the parts I think are different from the American standards, but to say that you walk away buying a Fender Mex saying, "Oh, geez, I wasted my money." No, you didn't. It's a good guitar. It really is.
And they've finally upgraded certain things on them that I never used to. That sort of separated them. I think the block in the new. Sorry, my voice is really husky at the moment. sorry, guys.
It's okay. It's okay. The ladies love it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know what's going on. But my Strat has. The new Mexican Strats have a bigger block. And I think that increases the overall tone of the guitar. Like I said, it cosmetically probably isn't up on par with the US Strats. I know if you held my old Deluxe Strat and the Mexican one, there's a clear difference in the finish and all that kind of thing. But in terms of tone, like, and that's what it comes down to. I think I've heard US Strats I don't think much of in terms of sound, and I've heard Mexican ones I don't think much of, and I think it's just about finding something that really speaks to you and you go, wow, this is, you know, what I've been looking for, and it might come out of anywhere, you know. That's the funny thing. Like, I love that Les Paul. That's Chinese, mate. it's a great sound. Like, you know, you never know what you're going to get from anywhere. But, yeah, definitely I think that in terms of, at least in regards to Fender stuff, it kind of comes down to more the finesse of the finish than almost anything else at the moment, because the pickups I got in my Strat actually are very, very usable as well. I'm quite happy with them. So
I think the tuning keys make a difference too.
They do.
Absolutely.
Although, you know what, I tell you what, I've come, you just touched on tuning keys there, Hutch. And the funny thing is that the Mexican Tele has vintage tuning heads in them. And I watched, Shane, I watched your video on changing strings on that, and just changed them as I was working, you know. And of course, I said a few bad words along the way, I admit. But now I prefer the vintage style tuner heads, you know, where you stick the end of the string into the hole in the end and spin it around, than the more modern style of sticking it through and trying to turn it on.
Yeah, I'm completely converted. After I did that video, Rick sat down with me and he goes, this is how you do these, and I've never looked back. I used to have locking tuners on my old Strat where you just put the string through, tighten something up. Yeah, I love the vintage ones. They are. It feels weird for me to go back to using the through ones on a Strat. So, yeah, the vintage ones are really good. There are tricks of making that easier. And I think I did a follow-up video where I wasn't as crap at it. But
you did.
Yeah.
But they were both very informative, you know, especially, you know, I'd never had that kind of tuning head before. So, I mean, it was like, all right, somebody must know something somewhere. And I came across that was the first time I saw anything that you did.
Oh, wow.
That was the start of our relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, after having done that for a while now, I know just how long to cut the string, to put it in, to get just the right number of wraps on the tuning head. And so I prefer it. The Clapton Strat has vintage tuning heads in it too.
Oh, cool. I think
they're a little higher quality than the Mex, but because the Clapton one is basically a 56 Strat, you know.
Yeah.
With
his, that'll be top of the line. The top of the line stuff for that for sure.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant about the tuners, actually, not so much between the vintage and the new standards or whatever, but the fact that the metal is a better metal in it.
Good quality.
They tune more precisely.
Mm-hmm. Got the right number. The tuning ratio is a little higher, yeah. And then you've also got to make sure that you have no way to know this, but you've got to have a good nut on it. You know, I've talked to Shane a couple of times about a Gibson, you know, studio faded that I had that drove me insane.
Yeah, mine was
not staying in tune, and the frets and the fret sprout on it was like on steroids. You know, I mean, it was practically a razor blade trying to play that thing.
But
I don't know what it is with the nuts they were putting on them, or they weren't taking the time to cut them, or they were just, you know, okay, well, this is our low end, so get it out the door, and, you know, then we'll spend our time doing something else. But you got to make sure you have a good nut on them.
Yeah, I think also some Fender guitars are guilty of not, like, how's this? My friend bought a Strat maybe about a year ago. It sounded great, but his G keeps going sharp, which is so random. Like, usually you think if you're going out of tune, it'd go flat, right? Like,
yeah,
goes flat. Tight. It's like it goes tighter. I've never seen that on a guitar before. So I'm like, take it to some guy who knows how to adjust the nut. It's got to have something to do with the tremolo or the way the nut is cut. Every time he plays it, man, I kid you not, the G goes sharp. It's bizarre. I've never seen that before. So,
it was probably binding in the nut.
Yeah,
it would be binding. And
I know guys that use Strats and use the tremolo bar. They have more likely to have trouble keeping it in tune. My Blackie is hard-tailed. I'm sorry, it's not hard-tailed, but it's blocked. So, you know, there's no tremolo. I have a tremolo bar with it. I just don't use it. I figure Clapton doesn't use it. I don't use it, you know?
Yeah, I don't use it either.
But and when you block them, you know, you can tweak them down tight, and they stay in tune. I got to tell you, Blackie, I've changed strings on it, you know, when it was time, and that bit just stays in tune. It does not come out.
Cool. No, that my friend, he kind of thinks that he likes using the tremolo arm. I said to him, man, it's just going to cause you more problems than it's worth. Just, you know, lock it down and you'll be good to go, you know. But, yeah, we'll see. I'll see what he does with it, because he's had it for, I guess, a year, and he always has this problem. One string just going sharp. It's crazy.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. But Alex, Wayne says, or is it? I've lost his comment. Oh, yeah, this Les Paul Jr. doesn't stay in tune like my Fenders. I had the same problem with my studios as well. That's why I didn't hold on to them. A mate of mine has two of them, and one of them's fantastic. It's unreal. Actually, another friend of mine has one as well, which is fine, but we spoke about this on another live stream that a lot of those studio guitars feel pretty rushed. they just don't play well. You can tune them up, play a chord, and the chord sounds wrong. Then you check your tuning, and the tuning's fine. So or any number of issues, but yeah.
Well, that's when I brought it back to Guitar Center, and I gave it to the guy. I said, you know, I gave it back to him and said, get it away from me.
Yeah.
And he was like, why? And I was like, you know, well, because it doesn't stay in tune. Well, and he tuned it up, and it sounded good. And I said to him, wait 5 minutes. So he just laid the guitar back in the case, and he picked it up, and 5 minutes later, it was out of tune. He said, okay, here's your money back.
Yeah, that's it. No, I had just playability issues and reliability issues with the tuning and the, like, some people say, oh, it's just the intonation's out. It wasn't that. It just, it was something else was wrong. And then people will say, oh, you know, you can get the nut replaced, put one of these, or they called, like, GrafTech or
something. Yeah, that doesn't do anything for the shrinking neck, though. I don't think they sealed that neck at all, because it just shrunk right down. And I'm telling you, Shane, when you'd run your hand up and down the guitar, you know, I think I actually scraped my fingers. Now, that should that should never, ever happen. I don't care whose name is on the headstock. Mm. That should never happen. There it is.
The reason why I bought my Michael Kelly, which was an inexpensive guitar, even though I put, you know, really good pickups and stuff onto it after the fact. The reason why I bought it is because of that satin smooth neck. The second I picked up that guitar, and it was an inexpensive guitar, but the second I picked it up, it was like, this thing's amazing, you know. Yeah, cool. And even after my Luthier worked on it, he said it really is amazing. But the pickups it originally came with were garbage. And since then, the original owner of the company got back into it. He was out of it for quite a while, and he's changed all the pickups. Hmm. So now the ones you buy off the shelves are fine.
You know, I think if you get a guitar, there are certain building blocks. You know, if you get a guitar that's reasonably well assembled together, you know, the neck isn't all funny or anything. The truss rod, you know, works. If the neck feels good in your hand and the weight's not too heavy, you know, from that point on, you can almost live with whatever needs to be changed because you can change pickups. You know, if you say I like this guitar, I like the feel of it, I like the action of it, but the pickups I don't care for, those can be changed. But if you get a bad neck or you know a frouts fed on steroids or something or other, there's nothing you can do about that because that's the individual nature of that individual instrument. You can always change the electronics, but the wood's got to be good. Wood's got to be good.
I was just going to say that because you can actually pick up two of the same guitars, and one will sound better than the other because of the way it resonates off of the wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion on that sort of stuff on the internet about what affects what, and actually Will from Will's Easy Guitar did another video about the whole tone wood / resonance thing, and it's really interesting. He reckons now that he's worked out that, you know, while hardware's a huge factor in the sound, and it can vary between guitars, he said that, you know, the sustain and all of that sort of stuff, you know, the certain wood types can actually affect that kind of thing. So, and he did this via, some sort of analyzer tool that he's got. So, yeah, it was an interesting
video.
Yeah, he's sort of come full circle on it a little bit, you know, from dismissing it, which, yeah, see, I don't know what to think about. I know hardware has to play a huge factor in it, whether it's the bridge or the, you know, other things as well, but this is, you know, the sustain part of it has to have some influence. I don't know if the tone's going to be that much different, but I reckon that there's got to be a sustain difference in you know types of woods to some extent, or maybe certain guitars have better sustain than others for those reasons too. It's a weird, complicated topic, I reckon that, but maybe it's not that complicated. Maybe it's just fact.
And I know what strats too. You know, you're talking about you know the tone block that the string the ball end of the strings goes into.
Yeah.
You know, when you go through the body, strats have that big metal tone bar there in the back. I'm beginning to believe that the kind of strings you put on the guitar make some difference, because I put the Dario's on them and they sound good. They sound wonderful. But you want to know what had the best ring and sustain of the ones I put on were Fender Bullets.
Mm. I agree with you on that, man.
Fit right in the hole. You know, you're not putting a round ball into a different shape. I mean, that's, you know, it goes in there. And I think it makes a, I'm going to call it a nice sonic coupling.
No, I agree. I think that's one thing that I'd never taken into consideration, especially with a Strat, was Fender Bullet strings. They really sound good. And after you, I think we spoke about that once before, and I totally agree. I just, for the first time, I put Diodario's on it yesterday, and it sounded fine, but... You know, the ends of them are, some of them are brass, I think, on the strings or some sort of metal, and others are plastic, or they're plastic coated or color plastic coated or whatever, but the bullets are all like steel bits at the end. So I'd have to say they'd sound slightly more steely than a plastic ball end. In that particular case, there's other guitars where that won't matter at all, but you're right.
I think that strats are the only guitar that probably actually comes together that way. Any other guitar, I don't think will make any difference, or you won't get that same result. But bullets and strats, I think there's your winner.
Yeah. I went to actually buy some recently at a at a guitar shop locally because I needed some strings, and I was like, oh, I'm really looking for some bullets, but they were out of the 11-gauge ones that I use, and I ended up getting another box of D'Addario strings pretty cheap, which was good, but yeah, I want to get some. I might see if I can order some online and give it another go. Maybe do an A-B video, see if there is a tone difference as well. Or a noticeable tone difference. That'd be cool to find out.
Run a set of 10 bullets on it and see what it sounds like. Or even they're a little easier to bend, too.
Yeah, our 10s are fine. I've played 10s on it, most of my guitars over the years, but I like 11s on mine these days. I like the challenge.
Yeah, they're a lot easier to bend.
And I put 9s on the tellies, so that's what they came with, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of like having 10s on my Telecaster, but I just get them in bulk. So right now I've got 20 packs of 11s, and they'll go fine on all of my guitars at the moment. Even this, I've got 11s on, which, it's actually live. But, I got 11s on this. My friend was playing an SG last night at the gig, and, it sort of motivated me to want to play mine. He made it sound great. So, I'm going to maybe take this out for a bit of a play tonight with me.
Sometimes I think some guitars want a particular tension, too. And I'm only saying this because I did a small experiment with my Mexican Tele. Mm-hmm. I saw a well-known string maker who had an in-between set of strings. There were 9.5s, and they were called tension equalized, or that they were supposedly picked out so they have the same close amount of tension that they put on the bridge. I forget exactly how they referred to them. And they got stuck in the nut.
Yeah.
So you know, I was like, all right, I know where this goes. I know the nut on this guitar is okay. And it was simply putting a different gauge string in it that the guitar was like, no, I'm not playing that. Okay. And I took them off it. Balance tension, they were called.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of them before.
You really do have to adjust the nut, though, to the type of strings you use. Yeah. I'm talking about the gap.
Yeah.
If he put, tried to put 11s on a guitar that you normally play 9s on, it just doesn't work. It doesn't hold the string properly.
Yeah,
and
you know,
the reverse is also true.
And I guess you got to use the files to cut it a little bit, you know, make it just a little bit bigger.
I don't do it. I will not cut new enough.
I would not even try.
Take it to someone.
I know. I understand how it would work. I could probably maybe, you know, fumble through it myself, but I don't want to try something like that on my instrument, only to find out that I messed it up, because I'd be really pissed. I would say a bunch of bad words.
Yeah, I always find one good trick sometimes, if the string still fits in there but it's doing some funny stuff, just grab like a graphite pencil.
Yeah.
And just put it in the gap, and sometimes that's enough to make it work. But other times, yeah, you do need to sort of...
I've played with graphite. I've used some 3-in-1 oil. From my time, you know, younger, I was raised around firearms. You know, I know folks from other countries get antsy about that. But, you know, for someone like myself, you know, a house without firearms is like a house without silverware. There's something missing. yeah. And I have spent a number of years until recently as a competition shooter. I was a competition marksman.
Oh, wow, cool.
So I have a number of oils, gooey things, you know, that are designed to let, you know, metal slide against metal and keep it lubricated, you know, under extreme conditions, you know, because firearms can get really, really hot when you're firing them. And I even used some of that on that Gibson that we were talking about earlier. And none of it worked. You know, the graphite and everything. Although I did use, Hutch, I did use the graphite on the tellies. And it seems happy with that. But, you know, I made this point just to say that I've got a number of really slippery things to, you know, stick in nuts, and when it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
There's a product called Benz, B-E-N-D-S. I think it's called Juice.
Yeah, I've seen it.
That does work. That actually works.
Seen
but
a thing
the problem
called
is, nuts. But it's temporary. Right? It's fine for, I don't do gigs, but if you did a 4-hour gig, you would have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because it really does make it slick.
There's another one called Nut Sauce.
Yeah, right. But it's the same company. They have a variety of products. But it's the same company. It's made by Benz. B-N-D-S.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I've never heard of any of this stuff. Okay. Cool, cool. I'm just laughing at the name there. That's hilarious. They can get away with that.
Nut sauce. So, yeah. Well, it's N-U-T sauce.
So RMG471 says, Shane, I'd like to see Steve play a little bit too. So you might have to break out a guitar on one of these streams, fellas, and get you guys rocking out.
Uh-oh.
Hey, there's nothing wrong to... it's funny, when I first started doing the streams, I was like really nervous about playing. Like, I just was like really tight. Now it doesn't matter. I just don't care if I make mistakes. It's just the way it goes.
I could potentially try a little bit of that Blackwater that I've been working on. I'm still not doing it very well.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Well, whenever you want, man. We don't have to do it today, but if you, yeah, it might be fun to do some guitar actual. Bit of guitar noodling over the streams.
There you go.
Like I said, I got this hooked up at the moment. I've been, I was messing around with this for a little bit before we started, and it definitely sounds pretty cool. I think, they're just a thick sound. Yeah, it's a bit out of tune. That's just through my PV Bandit.
You guys with a Yeti microphone could do that.
Your mic sounds really good though, mate. What are you using? Just a headset, is it? Or
no, it's just my Logitech webcam.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it's not Logitech, bad. There you go.
I don't know if you got it, but I just posted a link in the group chat there on the Google. Plus, do you see the link?
All right, I'll load it up. You gotta scroll to the left, Steve, of the live window, and then it'll bring up a panel, and then you click on the chat box thing.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I was wondering. Chat.
Here it is. Okay. Yeah, I got chats.
I'll bring this up so everyone else can check it out. Yeah, I hadn't heard of this stuff before.
That source applicator. Yeah. I think we're going to chuckle about that for the next couple of days.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, these things look interesting too. I see these in music shops all the time. I've never tried this before. Has anyone tried one of these? They're like string cleaning tools. Like,
no, I had one. Let's see if I can find out who it's made by. Music Nomad. And it's String Fuel, it's called.
String Fuel, okay.
Yeah, let me try and get it in the camera. It looks like that. And
Oh, yeah, I've seen that one. Yeah, I've seen it every time.
Sorry, man. Do that again? I wasn't.
You pull off the top. Hold on.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
It's like roll-on stick.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
Air strings. Hello, I didn't see your thing until just right about now.
It's all right.
Hello, sir.
How you doing, Terry?
Hello, everyone. Not too bad. I appear a little bit more brighter than normal because I've went out and I bought some of these.
Yeah,
here
cool.
You go.
Bulbs, and I did a test video and put it up on my channel, and I said, so what looks better, the little bulb that I was using?
Yeah.
And everybody said that this bulb and light source seems to be a lot better.
Yeah, it definitely looks bright. It's good, man. Nice stuff.
I thought you were going to say it's because you folks up in Canada don't get as much sun as we do down here in the States.
Oh. What is it? Is it pretty warm there at the moment, or is it all right? What sort of weather
today? Wasn't too bad. Yes, the previous day was nasty. It would be, it would have been like probably like muggy, hot.
Yeah.
Like in some parts of your area of the world.
Yeah. I like that sort of weather.
I do too.
I'm at home with it when it's warm. I keep saying to myself, I'm going to move up north and enjoy the sun more, but I never do. Hey, we got Mark here as well, man. How are you? I think he might
Hey, Shane. How you doing? How you doing, guys?
How you doing?
Hello.
I've had to switch my camera off because it makes everybody's audio go intermittent and I can't catch what you're saying. I'm using it on an old iPad and it's not really up to scratch.
Hey, that's okay.
Know all about that. Know all about
Starting
that.
Starting to wonder if Merck's stalking me.
Yeah. How you doing, Terry? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you, and yourself?
Cool, man. Cool. Yeah, I'm cool. Thank you. Just finished work. Sorry I'm late, Shane. I've just finished work in the UK. It's about, it's gone half two in the morning here. 2:50.
That's all right. For what I'm paying you, man, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised it took priority. No, it's fine. I don't expect anyone to... If anyone wants to join when I send that out and they can, they're more than welcome to. There's never any expectation or pressure to. So it's all
good.
Hey,
wait a minute now. You're paying somebody?
Yeah, I'll pay you the same amount of money.
Hey, Hutch. How quick could we be on a plane to Melbourne?
Hey, Terry. Can you tell me what kind of headset and mic that is?
This?
I've never seen that before. It sounds good.
Oh, hang on. I'll click on it. Hang on.
Is that gamer headset?
What was the number on it?
It is a Sennheiser PC350, which are I think they now have a PC360, which is another revision of it. They go anywhere from probably about, I'd say, 170, maybe 150 US to probably two.
It sounds very good.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Basically, the premise of the headset is the Sennheiser 500 series headphones. So that's the actual headset part. And the microphone is from their aviation series of headsets.
That's so from they use the sound of it, I thought so.
Yeah, so they use the combined of them too, and it's geared towards gamers mainly. And this is one of the top picked headsets for the the professional gaming leagues. I think they call it LGA or something like that. It's like one of the top four, but it's been around for like years upon years. And this set's 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
Sounds good. Change it cold.
I'm curious, if you played your guitar through an amp in the room, would the mic pick it up?
That's how initially how I was recording most of my stuff the last probably up until a year ago. Was basically through these headphones. I would put the mic laid down in front of the amp. Actually, even better since you can see it.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I didn't know you were recording.
What's
like that,
Terry? Is it that a PV, Terry? Is it?
Yeah, Viper VIP 2, and this month now ending, it's been officially a year I've had it. But I actually haven't really been able to utilize the acoustic aspect of it until recently. another little sneaky little thing I got about 3 weeks ago.
Nice.
Tell us a little bit about this one.
Is that a lava?
That is the Harley Benton.
Harley Benton, yeah.
It is the TE52NA, which is natural, I guess, ash, obviously.
Looks like ash.
When I got this from Thomann in Germany, it came here to Canada. I ordered it on the Friday. I had it the next Thursday.
Crazy, isn't it?
I could not believe it. And
what's that neck pickup?
The pickups is Wilkinson. I'm not sure what the branding of it, but I'd say it's like a vintage style. The neck is more like a traditional. The bridge actually seems a bit hotter than vintage, so actually a pretty nice combination. I've had a lot of compliments on this guitar.
Wilkinson's made in Canada? I think they are.
No, Wilkinson is actually UK based.
It's a UK company, but they're all made in Asia now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I used to work with Trevor Wilkinson.
Oh, really, Merc?
Yeah, I used to work for Patrick Eggle, the guitar company in England at the time, and Trevor Wilkinson was one of their senior advisors, like, and they used all the hardware on there.
Yeah, the only thing I've done to this is I've actually modified that very round tip there. It used to be squared off and almost looked like a beak.
It's got vintage tuners.
Yep.
I like that.
So I got this, and as I was saying about the acoustic aspect of it.
Yeah, the black acoustic, huh? Something you don't see every day.
It's their HBD120CE, so it's acoustic electric. So I got both guitars shipped to Canada for around $380 Canadian after customs.
It's a very, very good deal.
It's a really good deal for anyone in America who, because the American dollar versus the euro right now is really, really low. Nick, there from Nick in the States, he's got a whole bunch of these because of that reason.
Yeah, he's got lots and lots of those guitars. Hang on, sorry guys, I just got a few people asking how do they join the hangout here. Due to the spam bots that will automatically pick up the link, I'm not going to post it in the chat here. So what I've done, if you go to facebook.com/intheblues, on my most recent post, there's a link to join the actual hangout part. Just make sure if you join that you either mute or pause the live video itself. So Wayne and the other guys, yeah, just feel free to check that link out. I can't post it in here, unfortunately. But yeah. Sorry.
How are you getting on with your Strat, Shane?
Oh, it's great, man. I used it live last night and it rocked. Yeah. A friend of mine took some iPhone video of it. I didn't realize he was filming and
I've seen it, yeah.
Oh yeah, oh cool. Yeah, I posted a quick clip on through Instagram to Facebook or whatever, but it sounds great, man. I'm really digging it. So
what's your favorite pickup position on it so far that you're getting to?
I love bridge and middle, and I really love neck, and I really like bridge as well, which is, bridge pickup's never usually my favorite on a Strat, but I kind of, neck's always been my favorite over the years, but that bridge and middle position is great because it doesn't buzz, but you get you get nice attack, and I think that's what I was using on that video was bridge and middle, and it sings, man. I love it.
Yeah, I love my Strats.
I didn't realize you had gotten a Strat.
Yeah, I was shocked, man. I was shocked. I was a little embarrassed and a little shocked that I found one I really loved because I haven't really played one that really blew me away in a long time, and I'm quite happy with it, so it's good. What's been happening with you, Mark? What's news on?
Nothing much really. I've kind of knocked doing all the teching and repairs on the head at the minute. I want to concentrate more on playing because the band I'm in, they're getting a bit of interest now, and And with working on guitars in the day and then playing, like, you know, it kind of becomes a chore. So I've kind of held back on the repairs and the technician side of it at the minute. Just concentrating on playing, and I'm loving it again.
Yeah, cool. You just finished an album as well, is that correct?
An EP. We was going to do an album, but we thought it'd be like in the olden days. I mean, I was in bands and stuff when I was 18, 30 years ago. And the album was the thing that everybody wanted to do. But it's kind of moved on now, and like up and coming bands, it's got to be an EP. I mean, if you send it off to people to listen to, A&R guys and producers and that, they won't even listen to it if it's an album. You know, it just gets thrown in the other pile.
Yeah, you're right.
So we decided to go for an EP. Four songs on it.
So this is Mark's YouTube channel here. So if you're interested, you can check this out. He's got a whole lot of videos, different topics, and just some Q&As he's doing now. so definitely, you know, he's got the Blues Cube stuff. A few really good videos here. I didn't know you had a bass video. I haven't actually gone back in time through your videos. I've only seen the ones since I subscribed. So.
That was a Vox. It's been sitting in the corner of the studio where we've been recording the EP for nearly 30 years. Yep. 25, 30 years. It's still got 25-year-old strings on. And like it was in the station. Yeah. I had to play that on the EP. So I thought, hold on a minute, mate. So I got the producer to let me take it home, and I fixed it all up for him and made it playable. Like, you know what I mean? So at least I got to play an okay sounding bass on the EP.
Cool.
It was very rough. It was very rough when it comes to me.
I'm going to have to check that out there, Mark.
Yeah, so if you type in Mark's Naughty Guitars into YouTube, it should come up with his channel. And we've also got Mr. Wayne is back. Welcome, man.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, Wayne?
I finally found the link. Oh, okay. How are you all doing? It took me forever to find the link. I'm not that good at this.
Yeah, I think at the start I added you on Skype, or you added me, and then I was sending links out on Skype, and then that just got too confusing. I couldn't remember who I'd sent them to. And
yeah.
Then I started this email list. So if you're not on the email list, man, we'll get you on that. Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, I don't know where I found the link. I have to remember where I found the link. I don't think so.
No, that's right. Yeah, I've been posting them. I post them on Facebook because, we had a couple of nights where the spam bots were posting some pretty brutal stuff. So, I have to be really cautious to them. Yeah, no, like it's stuff you can never, you'll see and never forget.
I must have hit something somewhere.
Oh, that's all right. Go for it, man. Oh, I think you might have.
No, I don't know where I found the link. Cool. Probably in an email, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I emailed out today. I think he might be having technical problems.
Yeah, I think I was here. No, I was here earlier in the day and waiting for you to come on and about 11 o'clock. AMI time in New York. And then I just got a second email.
Yeah, I think like it was 10 AM my time. I was a few minutes late getting started. I just was finishing up a few little things. But I think it was 9 o'clock your time. I could be wrong. I think New Jersey's the same.
It was around 10
Jersey's
10 or 11 AM I think.
Okay, cool.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think we started at 8 New York time.
Maybe I missed it.
8 Eastern was when you started. I didn't get the email. Well, I didn't see the email in my Hotmail box until about 9:44, so it's 10:02 Eastern right now. But yeah, the initial email you sent out, I kind of was confused as well too, because by the timer thing, it was saying like that it was going to start at like 10 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, okay.
So I was also in there too, and I'm like, I'm like, what's going on here? And I said,
I was there, and it said it'll be on in a few moments.
Yeah, wow. Okay, so it looks like there's things changed. It used to be that it had like a counter that would go backwards until zero, but it looks like now it just gives you a time, which might not be accurate wherever you live. So, shit. All right, well, what I'll do, I'll just, to make it easier, what I'll do, I'll shoot an email out 15 minutes or half an hour maybe before the stream goes up. Unfortunately, I can't really send the link the day before anymore because what will happen, the live link can actually change. So you'll join and no one will be there. There's got to be another way of doing it, but anyway, I'll work it out.
I've done that tons of times before. Go click on a link and I'm like, what the hell? I'm the only one here.
Yeah. I mean, I was getting all these emails once telling me, we're all here, like, where are you? I'm like, I'm there as well, but I'm on a whole different connection, a whole different hangout. So.
Yeah. Even better,
a hangout of your own.
Sorry, I didn't catch much of that. What was that, Wayne?
No, I said, yeah, you were there in a hangout of your own.
Yeah, it's crazy. I still haven't mastered the best way of doing this, but anyway, it's whatever it is, whenever we can do it is always good. So.
Well, Shane, this is the biggest Murderers Row lineup we've had in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all
one, two, three, four, five, six.
Yeah, I think we've had more early on. We had quite a number of people in here, but I'm going to definitely try some different times of the day. I think the suggestion we had on the chat before was probably a good thing. So maybe the next one will be in the afternoon. In your part of the world, but late night for me, so that might be a cool thing. So Aggiefish asks, where has Nick in the States been?
Yeah, probably just, actually, I was just going to mention that.
Yeah, he's probably just been busy. I mean, he's on my list to send it out. I got him on Skype and stuff as well, but I haven't been really too communicative with anybody the last, 5 weeks. I've just been doing getting home, going to bed, waking up, doing that over and over again. So, I'll drop him a line and see how he's doing. And I think he's one of those guys, he'll do like lots of videos when he's got stuff and then you just won't see him for a while he's working and he's got a family and all that kind of stuff as well. So,
yeah, it could be summer vacation stuff going on with him too, yeah.
Yeah, I know he was trying to fund a holiday or vacation by selling a lot of stuff at one point. So maybe you're right. Maybe he's taking that time away. I know he's actually going to be in my city soon, in Melbourne here. So
really?
Yeah. He works for a company that is pretty international with what he does. So if it all works out, he'll be about 45 minutes from my house.
That'd be
so
cool.
I'll come get him and we'll do some. Yeah, if there's time between his work stuff, we'll do a stream together, or we'll do a couple of videos or something. So yeah, that'll be cool.
I know he owes us a Greco Les Paul review because that was one of the last guitars he got. I said, "Oh, a Greco."
Yeah, nice. Yeah, the Japanese stuff's killer. So yeah, Grecos, they're up there with the Japanese Tokai stuff. Yeah, they're really nice. I didn't know he bought one of them. Actually, I've been slack watching videos as well lately. I haven't really been keeping up with enough of them. So,
One of his last videos, I think he actually mentioned it or had it sitting beside him.
Okay, cool.
Do you think that'll happen again? Like, you know, our early Japanese guitars are really sought after now. Do you think that's ever going to happen again, like, in a few years' time? Do you think somebody's going to say, oh, I've got a 2016 Harley Benton? Wow, no way. Do you think that'll ever happen again? Or is golden moment of the guitars past, do you think?
I honestly think it just depends on who plays them.
Yeah, who makes them cool and that, yeah. Yeah,
good point.
Well, a lot of those, it's the same thing with
you mean
the
who plays them?
Yeah, if
you mean who plays them, what makes a particular model popular? You know, I used to play a Fender Jazzmaster, And I played them when nobody wanted them. And I lost one, sold it to someone, I don't know. It was a mistake. And I got another one back in the late 80s, right before someone must have been playing them, because they all of a sudden they became popular. And if they looked worn, they were even more popular.
Yeah.
And that, and because I bought this, it was 1965, in 1988 or 89, no, maybe 87. It was $300.
Yeah, wow.
Later,
wow.
It was more like two. It was more like 2,000 later.
Yeah, wow.
And
well, the price went up because Shane did a review on them, right, Shane?
Yeah. Like my friend's trying to snipe a PB Bandit off eBay at the moment, and he's having no luck getting a bargain. So it, he's spewing. Like we got these.
How much are they going for now? How much are they going for now?
275 second hand. Whereas I got mine for 160, I think 160 bucks.
So, wow, that's Australian dollars.
Back in the '80s.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Back in the 80s, to pick PB Bandits, I always had at least two for going out and playing. I should pick them up in, like, you know, the classified in my area. It was $75 a pop. No more, ever. No more than $75 each time.
Yeah, my friend.
I loved those amps.
Yeah, they're great. My friend runs, like, an audio, sort of like an backline company kind of thing for players in San Francisco or the Bay Area. And it, like, he buys these 80s Blue Stripe Bandits for under $100 every time, and they get used until they break, and then they're not, you know, why spend money fixing them up? So you take the speaker out, just buy another one.
they never break, though. I used Bandits from, like, 19. I started buying them in the early 80s, maybe 1979. I used them all the way through, like, 2006. They never broke, ever. My last one was a Trans Tube when it came out.
Yeah. Which one did you have? Was the Trans Tube one you had, was that a... do you remember what color the front was on it? Was it...
I think it was black.
Okay, cool. Yeah, they've got... There's long, quite a number.
10 years ago.
Yeah, cool.
Well, yeah. I got it when I got the Trans Tube not long after they came out.
Yeah. I've got to show you guys something funny here. You know, my friend Rick, that I do some of the videos with, Dr. Rick, now an official member of the PV website. they used his video on their website as... actually, I'll show you, because he's not a huge fan of... I'll tell you why he's not a huge fan of PV Bandits, because he... I shouldn't expose this to everybody, but he swapped a vintage, like, JCM, whatever, 2000 amp for a PV Bandit back in the 80s. this video is him, actually, the video we did with Rick. Yeah, he's actually now on the PV... This is the official PV Bandit website here. He's the new spokesperson. So his face went a bit red when he found that out. I thought that was pretty funny.
I think those were the bandits that I used to use. Some of them said Bandit 112 and some of them said Bandit 65 on them.
Yeah.
The original version is Bandit 65. Yes. Then it went to Bandit 112.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
They all work well.
What's that, Hush?
Rick is a big tube amp fan also.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he likes anything that's expensive or tweed. That's his that's his thing. Yeah. So we got Alex is here as well. Welcome, Alex. How are you, mate?
Well, you know, I went...
Hey, guys. Alex. Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Where are you from, mate? Oh, You think he's frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It's kind of glitching for me a little bit, but.
That's all right. Whereabouts are you from, mate? I think he's listening on. He might be on. If you're listening, if you're watching the live stream, just make sure you pause that because you're going to be about 15 seconds behind us. So, yeah, if you do join the Hangout, just pause the video page on YouTube. Otherwise, it's going to be a bit glitchy. But, yeah, the PB Bandit's always been good. And it's funny, I've been watching a lot of old school videos of, like, Jerry Reed and Chet Atkins and all that, you know, all that sort of stuff, the finger-picking stuff. They're all using them. There's a video of Eric Clapton playing a PB Bandit as well, which is pretty funny. I'll have to dig that up.
I saw a guy today. A live festival's going on in Cleveland, and I was streaming it. And I saw a guy up there. He had a Marshall head that didn't look familiar to me. And they finally zoomed in on it. He was playing with a regular Marshall 412 bottom with a Marshall MG head, the solid state head.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounded
before I. It sounded good. I assumed it was just any other Marshall before I saw the MG. But I was using the MGs for the recordings that I do here before I got the Fender Mustang in.
Yeah.
They worked great.
I have one right behind me.
Yeah. Yeah. I had the two smallest ones, whatever the two smallest, one and one size bigger, you know, bigger. It was like this big.
Yeah, wow, cool. How's your... Speaking of amps, Mark, how's your Blues Cube going? You still getting a bit of use out of it?
Oh, I'll tell you what, Shane, it's getting sweeter and sweeter the more that I use it. I think, I think the more au fait that you get with, you know, how to use the controls. I mean, it's simple layout anyway, isn't it? But to get the sweet spots, like, I have to put a little bit of bass on it. And I keep the treble at 12 o'clock and the mid at 12 o'clock, but I just oil a little bit of bass in. But I think I'm losing a lot through my pedal board at the minute. I mean, last time I spoke to you, I was on about buffers and that, and I still ain't got a buffer on my pedal board yet, and I've got, like, 10 true bypass pedals on it.
Yeah.
So it is sucking it. So I need to get, with any luck, in the next few weeks, I'll be able to afford a buffer. I was thinking about one of them TC Electronic ones, the Bonafide. You seen them?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that particular one, but they make good stuff, so I'm sure that'll be cool.
Yeah.
I know. Check out Emerson Custom Guitars. They make one as well, a little box.
Yeah. What cool name as well. That's my name.
What's that, sorry?
Do you have a tone capsule in it?
Oh, yeah.
Cool name.
I've not got a tone capsule for it, and I've been recommended by Shane, in fact, not to bother getting one.
Well, yeah, the one not to buy is the Eric Johnson. There's a new video that went up with the Eric Johnson tone capsule versus the amp on its own, and the amp on its own, in my opinion, sounds way better. There's a blues one that this black American dude has put together. I can't think of his name, but I've never heard of him before, and he's a really great player. That one actually sounds pretty good, but it's so expensive, like.
I can't get what's going on with Roland and their price points. And have you seen that new the Boss stack system thing with the head and the two cabs? The Wazza stack.
Yeah.
It's like something like nearly 5,000 quid altogether.
Oh, what?
For a head and a cab and another cab underneath it. Who's going to pay that?
Yeah, that's
a mortgage payment.
Unless
how much is the
for a Wazza? Boss Wazza stuff.
How much is a Marshall now? How much would a 100-watt head and a Marshall 412 bottom? What would they cost now? Anybody know?
Depends.
I think you're looking at like 1,200 quid in the UK. To say between a grand and 1,200 for the head, and you perhaps be looking at like between 400 and 600 quid for the cab.
Pricey.
Yeah, it's expensive.
So
we're not part of Europe anymore as well. They've thrown us out, you know what I mean? We're just floating around in the middle of the ocean somewhere now, so our pound's crashed. So everything's a little bit more expensive now as well.
Yeah, I have 2 years to work that out, though.
Or you could buy the Marshall code and have all the amps.
Never.
Well, I've seen those DSL 100s, you know, with the I don't know what they're called, but they're kind of a cheaper version of the 1960s 4x12s.
Yeah.
Those you can get for about maybe $1,200. But yeah, cool. You know, I've always wanted one, but it's too loud for you know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't.
You've got
afford
to be able
it.
To use it, right? Yeah.
Where are you from, Alex? What part of the world?
Well, I spent a lot of my younger life in Romania.
Oh yeah.
But
cool.
Now I live in Georgia.
Oh wow! Jesus.
Romania to Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh my God!
Georgia, the American state, or Georgia, the country?
Yeah, the American state.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, he sounded American. I wasn't sure where you're from. Cool. Good stuff. Welcome along, man, and I can hear you, and we can all see you fine this time too. So, yeah, I think you must have had a connection problem the first time around there, but yeah.
Sounds yeah, it's still glitching a little bit, but I don't know, maybe.
No, it's fine, man. Just leave it. It's all good. We're not having
no,
any problems.
No, you sound good,
that.
And it looks good too.
Yeah,
if he's using Wi-Fi, that can also
Alex,
be
if
it
you,
too.
Alex, if you use headphones, it helps a lot.
Yeah, but yeah, it definitely helps. Yeah, you're right. The Wi-Fi connections aren't always the best for these sort of things too. But yeah, no, you're coming through fine, mate. So don't worry, it's all good.
I've been
to Georgia a couple of times. It's a pretty cool state. It's yeah, get a lot of good music. A lot of good music in Georgia.
Oh yeah, a lot of. I'm not very good on the history of, you know, the black blues musicians, but I've heard a lot of them are from Georgia. I know my friend that lives here, his great-grandfather was B.B. King, and the funny thing was that I met him in a guitar class that I was taking at school.
Wow.
But, I mean, of course, he can't play as good as B.B. King, but, you know, nobody can.
Yeah.
I know a little unreal. Place that's just north of the Georgia border in South Carolina, known as Paris Island.
What is that? Is that a prison, is it?
No, it's the United States Marine Corps.
I wasn't sure where your humor was going there. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's the recruiting.
You can call it a prison.
Yeah, it's like a prison. They treat you like a prison.
You know what? I'm thinking of Ellis Island, I think, is a prison. Is that right or not?
No, Ellis Island was the island off of New York City where all the immigrants came in when everybody came into the country by boat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, well, I got my names all mixed up. There's some... Yeah, anyway, so yeah, sorry about that.
Thought there's it was really... New Jersey, they say, is a prison.
There's that, too. Sometimes it feels that way.
Hey, wait Alex, a minute. Wait, I got to defend New Jersey. And I'm from Brooklyn.
It's all yours.
No, that's sad.
It's all yours.
Brooklyn. So my wife I'm from Queens, New York. I'm from Queens, New York. Right on the border of Brooklyn, where I grew up.
Cool. There's a guitar player from Georgia called Josh Kirkland. He's a sort of like a. He's not a household name, right? But go check him out. He's an absolute freak of nature. He was the guy that did the... There was a touring Stevie Ray Vaughan band, basically, that were sort of like a tribute band. But he plays a lot of stuff.
You mean.
Yeah, Josh Kirkland's awesome. So if you get a chance to check him, he's a mate of mine who now lives in Melbourne from Georgia. And, there's a lot of videos of him on YouTube. So yeah, Alex, if you see that name around, man, go check him out because he'll blow your mind. He does a lot of festivals and stuff as well. He never runs out of ideas. He's one of those really great players. So yeah, he's cool.
Well, I would, but my mom's not that big into going to see concerts or festivals or anything. You know,
yeah.
I kind of have to wait. I have to wait 2 years before I could drive by myself.
Yeah. That's all right. I'm sure he'll still be playing it.
That's the benefit of YouTube.
Yeah.
Even just look him up. You know, you might really dig his dig his style. It's sort of like rock and blues. You know, really just rock and blues. All right, I'm going to have to step away for 30 seconds, guys. I'll be right back.
Yeah, that's my favorite style of genre, too.
Do you play guitar, Alex? Yeah.
Alex? What's your favorite guitar, Alex?
I'm sorry?
Mark asked you
what guitar do you play? What's your favorite?
Oh, well, I guess my favorite is a Fender Strat, but an Epiphone Les Paul, but that thing it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really like the sound of it, but now I've got this. I've actually got this Squire.
There you go. Nice.
So. And then I have this.
Look on the wall.
I overestimated the guitar to the amp. So I have this guitar, and then I have a $35 amplifier. It doesn't really sound that good, but I'm saving up to get a Vox AC15. I'm trying to save up a lot to get that, but it was
pretty nice. They're nice.
Start Voxes. Somewhere.
I was. It was either that or the Blues Junior.
It's a good one too. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You go with Vox. You go with Fender. You go with Marshall. It's hard to go wrong.
Marshall's more.
Yeah, I like the
high gain.
I kind of.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Shane's and back.
I like the clean crunch of
Every Fender player likes the clean touch of Fender products. That's one of the hooks that gets them in.
Yeah, sorry, my washing machine was making some weird noises, so I just wanted to check out what was going on.
I hate when that happens.
Hey, nice. Is that a Strat? Was it?
It's a Polish Strat. But
yeah, cool, man.
Yeah, I have a pretty nice classical guitar. That's where most of the money that I kind of got went to that. So,
cool.
Now that I've been playing it for a while, and now I'm like, man, I should have brought an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, cool.
That's okay. You got acoustic, you got electric, you got it all covered. Got a little practice amp, you're good to go.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try not to end up like gear junkies like us.
Before you know it, you'll have 30 pedals.
This is like my $50 Harmony acoustic guitar. This is my first one, and it sounds like crap because it has electric knives on it.
Oh,
yeah. No.
It's supposed to have nylons, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you got electric guitar strings.
This is the set. Well, I have three guitars. This is my acoustic one, and then the other one, which is the classical. It's actually a Lucero, which is a little known brand.
Hey Shane, maybe you can get him for your next guest show.
Yeah. That's it.
He's pulling out guitar after guitar here.
Yeah. Nice. Cool.
I'm
looking
at the one
my room here, and there's no seating because there's the my telly's on one chair, my Strat's on the next chair, my 12-string is on a bench, and my friend's junior is next to me. I've been practicing on that, trying to get used to the Gibson neck. I'm gonna make one more. I want to make another video. Record with the junior, because the one that I did was the first night I had the guitar, and I wasn't used to the neck. I was just playing it to get used to it, because I probably hadn't played a Gibson guitar in like 20 years. It felt small. You know, well, the guitar is tiny, and I'm huge.
Yeah. Was it the video that I liked? The one where you were...
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that's yeah, I'd hate to see what you're like once you're comfortable on the guitar. If that's how bad you play first go around, mate, that was ripping.
Well, it's very comfortable now, but it's comfortable, you know, sitting. But I don't stand anymore, so.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Turn something on here, quick.
I have a hard time playing sitting down. I'd rather stand up.
Yeah. No, if I'm practicing, I'll generally stand as well. Just keep. Oh, here we go. Here
I
go,
got
Wayne.
So used to sitting down. Standing up is so hard to me now.
I try to practice standing if I can. Try it again, Wayne.
Stop it.
Hey, come down and sit in with my band, man.
He's a sleeper.
yeah, man.
Well, blows me away.
we're going to have to fly Wayne out here. Yeah.
Okay, I've got to quit playing now.
But, you know...
I didn't think
I
feel
like
it on the
when
show.
I play this guitar, it's because the body sits back so far, and the neck is set in deep into the guitar, and I always feel like I bump into the headstock. Like, you're not seeing. Like it ends too soon, you know?
Okay, yeah.
It's a nice guitar, though.
Sounds great.
He loaned it to me back in February, brilliant. And I'm hoping he just kind of forgets about it, you know. I love this guitar.
So we've got someone. Yeah, Hunter's here. Aggiefish.
Yeah. What's up, guys?
How are you, man?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Good.
Some great guitars.
Somebody's got a train going through their apartment.
It's not me.
Oh no, my windows are open. I'm about a third of a mile from the train, and the way the landscape goes, it's dead silent now. It's 10:30 at night.
Explains
and,
it.
And it's really quiet here. And when the train goes by,
so for those who don't know,
this morning there must have been one of these motorcycle runs coming through town, because it was, you know, they just came roaring past my place here for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, wow.
Sounds like a thunder run.
That's every day here.
Oh, what guitar is
that? That's every day at my house. There's this one guy.
So Terry's giving his guitar the once over with the cloth here.
Well, because I got this brighter light, I'm giving my DBZ Imperial FM Honeyburst another look. I've had it since, it's a 2012, so it's still in immaculate condition since I won it. And Jeff, actually, August 1st, he will be relaunching Diamond Guitars, new models, a new hybrid sales structure. And Tone King's going to have a discount video out as well, too. Not to shamelessly promote, but...
No, he's... Go for it, man. I don't care. Doesn't bother me. Cool. And I should also mention, too, Hunter's the guy that runs the Aggiefish channel on YouTube, which is relatively new, I guess, compared to old channels like mine and the other guys. So I'll show you his channel over here. He makes great content, great player. He's way more... I don't want to say shredder, that's the wrong term, but you're more of a heavier kind of tone guy than me, so it's a good point of difference. You play a lot of
you got great recordings. Yeah, it's not really for the faint of hearted.
Yeah.
It's a little more intense.
Yeah. That's the first time we've actually spoken, too, so thanks for dropping in, man. I appreciate it. It's good having you on board. So, definitely check out his channel. I gave him a bit of a plug on a video a while back, or a couple times, I guess, but yeah, his channel's definitely good. He's got lots of good stuff. Great playing. I love that white SG with the three pickups you got too, man. And
yeah, it's incredible. And it was like a $400 guitar too. And it's just absolutely incredible.
What is that? Was that an Epiphone? Was it, or was it a Gibson?
Yeah, it's the Epiphone reissue of the original Les Paul Custom, though the 1961 version, where they changed it to an SG shape. They still called it a Les Paul Custom, and then Les Paul decided that he hated that shape, and they stopped calling it the Les Paul Custom.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that I think that they don't produce much of them anymore either.
Yeah, I think it's discontinued, and I don't know why, because it's friggin' awesome, man.
I was going to say, was it you or was it someone else that I seen that reviewed the Odin?
Yeah, that was mine. I got a lot of hate on that one. I did not like it.
No, I mean, it's funny because the reality is where it's produced anyways, it's produced by Schecter, and all the Schecter stuff is at the same place as the Diamond DBZ stuff. So, I mean, what you said, though, to me was true when I seen the pricing. I was like, $999, new.
Yeah, no, it's not a $999 guitar, and I don't know what it is, because, like, LTDs are made in the same facility, Schecters, like, a lot of those Korean-made guitars are made in the same facilities, and those feel infinitely better, and they're cheaper, and I didn't understand what the heck went on there, and I got a lot of hate, because, you know, there are a lot of Zach Wild fanboys on the internet.
That's the world guitar. That. World guitar in South Korea, right?
Yeah, correct. That's the one.
By the way, in the chat, I just posted a link. You guys should really check out that video. It's not mine, but it's the Tone King did a link with Jimmy Vivino. He's a great guitarist here in the States. He's on the Conan show. He said that Muddy Waters was talking about gas before. That's why I'm bringing it up. He said that Muddy Waters had one guitar. He said it took him a little while to find it, but once he got it, that's the only guitar he ever had. And companies would give him guitars and they'd give him away, but he'd keep that one guitar.
Well, you know, it's interesting about certain guitars that hit you a certain way. I started playing a Telecaster because I saw pictures of Muddy Waters playing a Telecaster. And when I was a teenager, I went to Central Park and I saw Paul Butterfield Blues Band. And the guitarist in the band was the guitarist that joined the Rolling Stones for a few years. Blonde haired guy. And he was playing a red Tele. And I heard the Tele, I saw it. Mostly I was attracted to the looks of the Tele. And when I started playing, my first good guitar was it was Les Paul. I used Les Paul, but when I bought a new guitar, I bought Teles for you. It just stuck with me. Muddy Waters and, I don't know, every Tele player, I guess.
Yeah, cool. Nice. So we've actually got someone else in here, too. Okay. Sorry, Ryan, I must have overlooked. I didn't see your pop-up here. So welcome in.
No problem. Thank you.
Oh, I'm going to have to turn your mic up a little bit. I'll see if I can do it from here, because I'm not sure if everyone else could hear you or not there. Yeah.
Very quiet.
Get a little closer. Sure.
I can turn you up on this side here. Let's try this. Try again?
Yep. How about now?
That's as loud as it's going to go, I think. Yeah, we can hear. That's all right. Hey, how are you, mate? Where are you from?
Just fine. I'm from Indiana, over in the States, so the good old Midwest of the United States.
Yeah, cool, mate. Got a nice couple of acoustic guitars behind you there, too?
Yeah, I got a Martin 000 there, and that's actually a ukulele hanging next to it. And then I've got my Paul Reed Smith there hanging next to it. So.
Oh, nice, man.
I love the color of your PRS.
Thank you. Yeah, it's called Blue Tortuga. It's pretty cool.
How long have you had that?
I got it yesterday evening.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So
wow. It's brand new. It's brand new.
Oh, congrats. Yeah. That's cool. Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't have many, but I like what I've got, so.
Yeah. Is that a, they almost look like, I could be wrong, it's just probably perspective, they almost look like mini humbuckers from back here.
It is. It's the Paul's guitar.
Oh, wow. Cool.
It's the 408 narrow pickup that's in the neck and the bridge position. It's really neat. If you like a Telecaster, it's a very cool guitar, and that's kind of what I like to play. I'm kind of a country type player, and that allows you to do. I can get it and bring it over here, but it's just two humbuckers, and you have little mini switches that allow you to actually do a coil tap on each one of the one of the humbuckers. It disconnects the screw coil and then adds 1,500 turns to the slug coil, so whenever you do the split, you don't lose any volume between the humbucker and the single coil setting, which is that's a typical problem. Like when you go look at a Les Paul and you do their push-pull stuff, you know, they're, when you split their humbuckers, you lose a lot of volume, and with this, that doesn't happen. So it's nice to plan out.
Very nice. Yeah, it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, there's something really underrated about mini humbuckers too. I think they're great. They're like the best of all the qualities of the great humbuckers mixed with that single coil sort of vibe. You know, they got that sparkle. They're,
What would they be, the ones that were in the original Firebirds from the 60s? Because I played a Firebird. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's not that at all. It's a totally new design by Paul Smith. And, you know, he's got this, like I said, that mechanism where it's actually doing a coil tap, which is rare on a humbucker. Normally with a humbucker, it's a split, but this is a true coil tap on it. So it's very, very, very nice stuff. I'd recommend it. You know, they make two models of guitar that have that pickup in it. They make a 408, and then they make the what they call the Paul's guitar, and that's what this one is. So. They're neat, but yeah, Shane, it's I've been watching your videos for a while. It's good to join in and talk to you. I appreciate you hosting this.
Hey, no worries at all. No, thanks for dropping in. It's always good to see some familiar faces and some new ones as well. So it's always good. So thanks, man.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, no props. Yeah. So you got anything else on the hit list in terms of guitars, or you're all done for a little while? I guess the Paul Reed Smith isn't like a. It's a serious purchase, that one, mate.
Yeah, I tell you what I did. It's kind of a funny story. A lot of people that buy guitars and sell guitars and trade, you know, you go in cycles. And what happened with me is I had a couple pretty decent guitars. I had a John Sir Telecaster. I had a Sir Stratocaster. And then nice. I had the Paul Reed Smith, the new 594 that he came out with. It's supposed to be sort of their Les Paul competitor. And what I ended up doing is I took all three of those guitars, and there's a local Paul Reed Smith shop here, and I was looking at the private stocks, you know, just sort of joking around with the salesman. And I said, yeah, you know, if I'm going to have to sell all these guitars to ever be able to afford a private stock. He said, I tell you what, I'll make your day. I'll give you back what you paid for each one of those guitars in value for trade against a private stock.
Wow.
I said, you're kidding. And he said, no. He said, I'm looking at the Sirs. They're 19-something new. And he gave me every bit back for them, and I just paid the difference. I couldn't turn down the deal. I really couldn't.
No, well, that's unheard of.
Yeah, it really is, but... To be fair, I do, you know, quite a bit of business through those guys, but they made me a deal I could not refuse. So, to answer your question, I need a Stratocaster of some type. You know, the Paul's guitar will do the Les Paul thing, it'll do the Tele thing, but what you miss are those two and four positions on a Strat, and I really like those two and four positions. Bridge and middle is where I like to live, because I like a lot of the dire straights.
Yeah, me too. It's great.
And you have to have a Strat to get that.
Yeah. There's no. I think once you get that sound sorted out, it's a lot of fun. It really is.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I didn't play a Strat for quite a long time, at one point in time, and you're having that again. It has been fun. I got to say, I'm shocked how much I'm enjoying it. So it, can't go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, it was my exclusive gigging guitar for probably 5 years. And then once I got away from it, I ended up trading that guitar off, and I got away from it, and I started getting into Paul Reed Smith. And then when I went back and played him, it was just like such a love-hate relationship, because there's so many things that are good about Stratocasters, but then there's so many things that are just aggravated too. Yeah. And, you know, I was playing an American Standard, so I was dealing with all the hum and the buzz and all that stuff. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I know it well. I'm the same. There's things about Strats I couldn't stand, and there's, yeah, you're right. I haven't been as satisfied with a Strat as I am at the moment. I keep saying that, but once you get that bridge middle position thing sorted, man, it is a lot of fun. You don't get the buzz, and it also, it's a sound you can't get on any other guitar, basically, as well. So it's cool.
No, you can kind of imitate a Telecaster, but it's, you know, the single pickup, but it's impossible to imitate that middle and bridge position or the middle and the neck. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The Tele and the... do you play a Telecaster at all, Hunter?
No. I'm pretty much, like, exclusively Les Paul SG types, besides, like, this Bullet Strat that I'm doing for a pickup demo, and I have, like, two single coils, but it's so janky, man. I mean, I even have... I removed the tone knob, and I moved the volume knob down, because I do a lot of down picking and stuff, so now I've got this big old hole right here. I mean, apart from that,
yeah,
I don't really delve into, like, Fenders, Squires, anything like that.
No, fair enough.
You're banned
from my channel now, mate. That's it.
I know. I just made a lot of enemies just now.
you just lost half your subscribers. No, I'm kidding.
And we know where he lives, too.
So you got plenty of demos, man. What's some of the cool stuff you've had a chance to test over the last few weeks or last however long?
All right. So I met a ton of guys at a Sweetwater Gear Fest. And I was down in Indiana about a month ago, and I met the guys that do the distribution for Hughes and Kettner in North America. Holy crap! Here, it's on my desk right here.
My
apartment's like really messy, but like, yeah, I mean, look at that, man. It's ridiculous. It's so cool.
How do they sound?
Is that a TubeMeister head?
Sorry?
Is that a TubeMeister head? Which model is that?
Yeah, it's a TubeMeister 40 Deluxe.
Yeah.
It's one of the new ones.
Those are great. Now, does that have the XLR out on the back of it?
Yep, XLR out. It's got the new Redbox with speaker and room ambience emulation. Yeah, it's got like the power soak as well, 40 watts all the way down to, you can go speakerless and just go do the XLR out only, which is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, it's insane, and it sounds great. I've got a demo of it up on the channel, but I'm trying to convince them to let me keep it for a bit longer. That way I can do other demos through it, because it's just amazing.
Yeah, I've been saying for a long time. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Terry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought it was amazing how he's got this big stack of amps right beside his fridge.
I wonder what he has for dinner.
rock and roll, baby. No.
You're on a 12AX7 diet.
Yeah, I mean, I live in a studio apartment. I'm moving to a bigger place soon. So, I mean, when I moved in, I wasn't doing these YouTube gear demos. And then, you know, as I've been getting more and more stuff to do videos, you know, there really isn't anywhere to put it besides, you know, right in the middle of the room. And, you know, I think it looks great, personally. So.
Yeah. No, that's good, man. You won't know yourself if you get a bit more space. I have a room. It's not even anything flash. Like, I don't live in a luxurious place by any means, but just having a room to be able to work in and do the videos and, you know, having all your crap in the cupboards or whatever, it definitely helps. I think it helps your workflow, I reckon. It definitely does. But no, you got some great pedals, pedal demos, and I've been so out of the loop with what's been being posted the last few weeks while I've been doing my day job that I need to catch up on some serious watching of videos. I must have missed probably the last 20 you've done almost, I reckon. Now I've been working for a while, so yeah, I'm glad your channel's doing well, man. You got nearly 1,000 subs already, so.
Yeah, you know, the Odin video that we were talking about earlier, that's brought a lot of people in because I guess they're not sending those out for demos. I'm not exactly sure why, but, you know, nobody's really done anything. And I worked something out with my local guitar center where I can pretty much go in, I pay for it, but they've given me an unlimited return policy in return for doing these demos, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah, and then I also found on Craigslist, I was trying to get rid of my 6505, right? And I couldn't find anybody to buy it, but some dude was offering their Marshall DSL 100H, the spiritual like successor to the JCM 800. And you know, I offered him a trade, and he said, fine, he'll take the PV as well, as long as I threw in a 12-pack of Corona. And I was like, you know what? I'll take that deal. That's a pretty bad beer. So I can get that for cheap.
Man, that's cool. So you got it's good. Things are definitely cranking over pretty nicely on your channel. You got 200,000 views, man. Well done.
Yeah, man.
More than that, 230. Far out. Cool.
Plus, if that guy knew anything about Mexican beer, he would have at least asked for Dos Equis.
or Tecate.
Yeah, I think he asked for Tecate first. That was really where the, you know how usually you bargain about price on Craigslist? No, this is like, I didn't have Tecate at my local Wegmans, so it was bartering what type of beer he'd accept in his place.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think Ryan, here we go. Alex has got, is that the practice amp? Oh, he's on mute. Sorry, Ryan, are you? Alex, sorry. Hang on, let me check. Oh, yeah. Oops, sorry. Sorry, I accidentally turned him down while he was moving his camera around before. Sorry, Alex, go for it, mate.
I said, I'll trade you this for your DSL 100.
it looks killer, but I'm going to have to pass. I mean, I just got it.
I was talking to somebody in the chat earlier. There's my that's the new pack that's the new Corona. There's a new bass breaker right there. That's the 15-watt Fender bass breaker.
Oh, it's so good, man. I love that one. That's my favorite out of all of them.
Yeah. While I'm talking too, I went ahead and grabbed that PRS. Here's those mini humbuckers, Shane. You'd like to see them.
Oh, yeah, cool. Oh, yeah, they look different too. Very cool.
That's nice.
Yeah, and then let's see if I can get the there's your two switches.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. You got two little mini switches for the each pickup.
Actually, look at the pickup surround. That's very unique.
Yeah, they redesigned them. They made them to look like, I don't know. They're different. I agree. I'm trying to get it. There you go.
They kind of look like P90s to some. Oh no, actually there is a line down the middle. I didn't see that before.
Yeah.
Very very cool. That's beautiful, man.
That's a private stock. Just in the top itself, the flame in the top is just insane.
Yeah. I like the fret. What sort of on the markers on the fretboard there? They look like there was some interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah, here, I'm going to take my headphones off real quick so I can move around here.
Yeah, no worries.
I don't know if that's a problem.
That's all right.
Fingerboarding it.
Here's the, they call them brushstroke birds. So, you know, Paul Reed Smith does the bird inlays. But with this, rather than just being one solid bird shape, they do these individual, like, paint brush strokes. And when you're at a distance, it looks like a bird. But when you're up close, you see these individual inlays. Let me see if I can move along the neck here.
So you can see them. You can see reflections in the fretboard almost. It's crazy. Nice.
Yeah, the headstock has one big one of those on it.
Oh wow!
Sheesh.
Yeah, it's more of a guitar than I thought I'd ever own, that's for sure. But when he made the offer to basically give me MSRP for the three guitars I wanted to trade in, I said, yeah, sure. That's a deal you never get, right? You know?
In the yesterday, I posted a photo of an original Klon. One of my friends had a Klon at the gig we did, and I got some comments on it on Facebook, which made me just think of asking you the same questions. Where is it? It says, does it come with an armed guard, that guitar? another one was...
an insurance policy, right?
Another question I got was, how much did it cost just to look at it? So, yeah, I'm guessing that's along the same lines as the PRS, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I appreciate all the comments.
Shane, I'm gonna try to connect with the laptop.
Okay, no problems, man. Cool. I'm gonna probably only be another 10 or 15 minutes on the call, I think, because we've been going for over 2 hours now. So I'm gonna have to go get some lunch at some point before I fall apart. But yeah, feel free to join back. No problem.
I'll still get on. I'll still try to get on.
Okay. Cool. Cool. All right. Yeah, no, that's a beautiful guitar there, Ryan. So I don't know if you're plugged in or anything, but feel free to have a jam out if you
want. Yeah, let me fire up the bass breaker, and I'll plug in here, and we'll see how it sounds.
Cool. Those bass breakers, that particular 15 is a ripper. I love it.
Yeah, I've got two of them. I've got the one here, and then I keep one where we practice, so I don't have to lug it back and forth. Yeah, that's a nice luxury to have. And they sell those amps for like $600 American. So, you know, you can save your bucks for just a little bit longer and get two of them. So, yeah, let me plug it back.
It's kind of like a cross too between a Fender and a Marshall. It's got a unique sound to it.
Yeah, they're great. That particular 15 just sings. It's like a Blues Junior on steroids or something. You know, you got the different gain stages, and even like a player like Hunter who plays heavier stuff.
Is it made for guitar or bass?
No, it's guitar amp. Yeah, it is guitar amp.
Oh, it's a bass breaker.
Yeah,
is that coming through at all? Can you hear that? Can you hear the bass breaker there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great.
I got a feeling you're going to rip it up, mate.
No, I'm just a pretender. That's all.
Right.
I get by on my smashing good looks mostly.
Nice. That's it. We're gonna have to kick you out of here, mate. You're too talented.
Like I said, I've been watching you guys do these broadcasts for a long time, and I never joined in. I was too bashful, and I thought tonight, you know, hey, what the heck, let's give it a shot. So it's good conversation. But yeah, I was talking to somebody in the chat earlier about those bass breakers. I can't recommend them enough. It's like a Blues Junior with an extra gain stage. You know, it's like a little extra boost in there, and you know, everybody gives it a hard time because the reverb, you know, it's not a spring reverb. It's more of a like a hall, like a digital hall reverb.
It sounds unreal.
But when you're playing with any kind of gain at all, I'd rather have that than the spring, because the spring reverb can get out of control when you have too much drive. So, you know, I actually see that as a positive.
Which gain stage do you leave it on? I really like the second one from memory when I was testing it out. That was pretty cool.
I either like the second one wound all the way open on the gain,
Yep.
Or I like the third one between, 10 and 12 o'clock, something like that. Yeah, I don't like it wound up all the way, but I like what's nice is all my guitars, well, my one guitar now, have treble bleed circuits on all the potentiometers. That way when you can control your amount of drive with your volume pot without losing all your high end. And I can't recommend that enough. That's about the best, and not only the best, but the cheapest modification you can make to a guitar is a treble bleed circuit.
I had that done on my my Tele with the Joe Budden pickups in it.
Did it work right with the buttons?
Yeah, it worked great. It was too. I know you always talk about steely, but it was too steely for me. It was almost like a. And I went in and they said, I went back to him and the guy had put him in for me. And I said, there's just something not right sounding. It sounds too brittle. Mm-hmm. And he knew what to do right away. And he says, let's try this.
You can control that, Hutch. It all has to do with the size, the value of the capacitor that they use in that circuit. So if it's too steely, they need to use a smaller capacitor. They probably just put too big of a capacitor in there to begin with. So you can definitely tune that to the way you like it.
I'm not sure if it was 1 microfarad or 0.1 microfarad what he put in, but it was an amazing difference.
Yeah, it should be 0.1. And there are three main different versions. There's a YouTube channel. I'm not sure how active it is now, but the information that's on there is fantastic. It's called Brazia's Toneworks. That's BRGA. And he shows you how to go in and do all the different volume pot mods, and he also explains to you all the different ways you can wire it up. For instance, there's a Kenman version, which I think Kenman, he was an Australian that put this one together. Seymour Duncan has one that he likes to do. And then there's just the standard old, 50-cent capacitor that you wire in, and that's the way I always did my Fender guitars, and it just made a whole world of difference. Matter of fact, Steve was talking about his Clapton Strat. I think it was Steve talking about the Clapton Strat, and those have the treble bleeds in them from the factory as well. They just don't advertise it.
Sorry, I just got caught up reading a couple of the questions and comments here. So a few questions we had. What are our favorite budget guitars? I know the PRS might not fall under that under that category. So,
don't necessarily say that, Gene. You're forgetting about the PRS SEs.
Oh, there you go.
They're out of One World. Yeah. They're all around 500, and they're all really good guitars.
Yeah, right, the SE standards for sure. They make a single cut, and they make a couple models under the standard line, and they are $499 American. And I'm telling you, fantastic guitars. I've got a very large PRS dealer about a mile from my house, which is part of the reason I'm in the shape I'm in with this guitar. But those SEs are fine instruments for sure.
Yeah, cool. I'd say my favorite budget-ish guitar would be the Chinese Tokai stuff. I've got a handful of these behind me at the moment, and they sound good and they look cool and they play well as well. So it's except for when your headphones are caught on the strings. But
if you're looking for a single coil, the Classic Vibe is also a very nice guitar.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that would be on my list as well.
Classic Vibe, Vintage Modified are also very good. In regards to the Harley Benton I was showing earlier, the best way I could describe that is body-wise, it would be just like a Squire Classic Vibe. The neck-wise on it, though, would be just like one of the Vintage Modified Tele necks. So it's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, cool. I'm sorry, the cameraman's not working here. Sorry, Terry.
Terry, how did you get a hold of one of those? I haven't seen any in the States. I think I heard you had to order one through Germany or something. Is that what you said?
My Classic Vibe?
Yeah. No, Thomas, the Harley Benton.
Yeah, Harley Benton's. Harley Benton's, you have to order them through Thomann.de. And you have to pay. You can. They actually now have updated it that you can either pay by credit card or PayPal. And the American dollar right now makes it very good to buy the Harley Benton stuff. And the highest priced Harley Benton is, I think, the Big Tone, which is almost like a Gretsch. Oh. And those go for around like $350.
Hmm. Wow.
But so
is it a Chinese instrument? What are they doing there to cut the cost?
It's basically they're Chinese produced. So Harley Benton puts the thing in. Yeah. A lot of the higher end Harley Benton Les Paul style guitars, if you actually look on Thomann's own website for their vintage brand guitars from the company Vintage in the UK, they're almost identical, except you don't have the scarf joint and the other things like the vintage stuff wouldn't have that type of stuff, whereas the Harley Benton would have the scarf joints and so forth.
You know, it's always interesting to me about guitars of that nature. Now, I see you've got a couple others back there, Terry. I mean, do they compare? I mean, are you finding it to be well made as far as did you have to do any fret work to it when you got it or anything of that nature?
One of the other guys that I've followed recently, EJC's Toys and Reviews, he had gotten one about 3-4 months back. And he was pretty finicky about it, and he ended up doing a fret job. But this thing, I pulled it out of the box, and I thought, okay, there might have to be some stuff. And I plugged it in. The only thing I really had to do was clean the strings. Strings were a little dirty. That's all I've had to do is clean the guitar, tune it. It's been playing since. I had it in open G, and I was doing Stonesy type of stuff. I just put a video up on my channel a few days back where I was doing a bit of like Black Crowes stuff on it. So I can get a lot of teletones on it. And like I was saying there earlier, it's got the bridge is just a little hot, so I'd say it's like vintage plus, and then the neck's a nice vintage. So even on my own channel, I've done like an hour where I've gone through all the Viper settings showing the different patches and different levels of effects and distortion in that, and I was surprised at how good it is. But again, it's the Wilkinson pickups. The bridge isn't a Wilkinson, and that is probably something I would probably consider doing in the next little while, is changing the bridge out to a true Wilkinson. But I mean, the guitar was only 180 Canadian.
Wow.
And so, I mean, considering a classic vibe is like $500 Canadian, it's like you can't go wrong.
It's really amazing to me how, you know, everybody told me 15 years ago when I started playing, you know, you're so lucky that you started playing now rather than, you know, in the 60s. You know, because beginner guitars in the 60s apparently were not nearly what beginner guitars are now, is what I'm led to understand. And I was saying...
They were terrible. They were terrible. They were unplayable. I'm in my 60s. You couldn't even find a good guitar unless you knew a musician in the direction of a real music store, because there were all these Del Reys and all these four pickup Japanese guitars with action, like, you know, half an inch or more. They were terrible, unplayable almost. I think most people, like from the 60s, most young teenagers or younger from the 60s stopped playing because they got a guitar and it was too hard to play.
Even when I started playing in the early 80s, And I remember the Squire branded Fender Stratocasters. They looked beautiful, but they were absolutely garbage to play. You know, yeah. Nowadays you can get $150 Squire Affinity Strat that would like smoke the earth off of that like Squire back in the day.
Yeah, that was my point. I think even just the last 15 years, there's been a huge jump in quality in the entry level guitars, to the point where it makes you wonder, you know, is an American Standard Strat that much better than a Made in Mexico Strat, or you know, even one of the Chinese Squires or something. There are so many parts and pieces available to upgrade something cheap and make it something that's much more substantial. And then you take something like YouTube, where guys like all of you are putting out how-to videos and sharing your knowledge that way, and it's like, you know, anybody with a little bit of grit can get in there and make something that they've got totally playable.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, I know, like Shane, he had a video on the Classic Vibe versus the reissued Tele?
Yeah, the 52, yeah.
In my opinion, the Squire sounded better to me. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's it. And better is always subjective as well, you know. That's the thing. Like, there was nothing wrong with it. That guitar, I used it a lot. I played it a lot live and used it for videos. And I think I paid like $349 for it when I was in Daytona. And, I got it on sale. It was cheap and it was great. Like the first night I took it out, I didn't even change the strings. It was just as playable as anything else. So I've never felt that way about Squire guitars previous to that. That Classic Vibe series stuff is really quite, you know, it's really great.
Yeah, all the strats and that.
I feel the same way when I was talking about my Gibson, like a Gibson Les Paul Custom Classic and that Classic Custom, rather, and there's no question that it's better than my Epiphone, but it's definitely better because it's a little bit better for the tuner and a little bit better for the way the neck feels and it's very slight, but when you put it all together, it is a better guitar, but it's four times the price of my Epiphone, so you really gotta wonder, you know, as a player. It, you know, it's the old story. It's not the wand. It's the magician.
So yeah, I totally agree.
If you got something that's set up that you can play, now it's about skill level.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, I posted a video. Oh, sorry. Go.
I was just gonna say you can't buy a 59-58 reissue Les Paul and expect to sound like Jimmy Page. You know, because he spent $8,000 on a guitar.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I'll just grab something that I've got over here. I'll keep chatting. I'll be back in a sec. I want to share this with you.
But the reality is, Terry,
I was going to tell you, those. I had two Sur guitars, and one of them was the Sur Pro T. And that's basically his vintage style Telecaster. But it had the Wilkinson bridge on it, with the Wilkinson compensated brass saddles. And I've had a couple Telecasters, and that was by far the best bridge I've ever had. So if you want to stick with the Wilkinson theme on your Harley Benton, I can't recommend it enough. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, thanks for that. I was just going to mention, too, before you mentioned that, the other reality is manufacturing and technology itself is also grown in leaps and bounds in also the last two decades. So, I mean, that's why you can take an $80 acoustic and actually make an $80 acoustic and it actually sound decent compared to an $80 acoustic like 10, 20 years ago.
No, you're right. And this is a $70 Strat that I demoed, or that I had my friend Brian demo on my channel. He's talking about it comes down to the hands. That's a great example. This thing actually looks really good for $70, you know, like you would think how good's it going to be, but he got it to sound great. So he's playing's at a point where I guess you could give him a guitar like this and he'll still make it sound like him.
Well, and that's the other reality too, is, I mean, you know, when people talk about when you're starting out, and, you know, a lot of people have said that, you know, you can't buy somebody a Gibson Les Paul to start out on and expect, and, you know, everyone expects to sound like whoever plays a Gibson Les Paul, you know.
Yeah, you got to have
the ability to do it and, you know, learn how to do it. Sometimes people can pick it up quickly. Other time it takes people's, you know, years.
No, absolutely.
I believe that if you're starting off playing guitar, you don't have to spend, you know, like $600,000, you know. But I guess, like, don't get strategy you can find, because if you do that, the action's going to be wrong. You know, it might not sound good or whatever, you know, and you just don't feel like playing it. It's not going to be inspiring.
Yeah.
So at least get something that you like.
If you buy a $400 guitar that you really like, and you take it to a decent luthier and tell him, set it up for me, set it up the way it's supposed to be played, and you start from that point, you might like a higher action in the future or whatever, but you start from that point and it becomes a very playable guitar, and that's what you need. You need, you know, you can get a really expensive guitar right off the rack, and if it's not set up right, it doesn't handle well, it doesn't play well.
Yeah,
like my Squire Bullet, that was like $130, but I took it to a shop and they got it set up now, and it plays like some of the Gibson Les Pauls that, I mean, of course it's not going to be the same because, you know, the actions are different, but I guess it's better to compare it to like American Strat, you know.
Yeah, that's it. You can definitely get them to play well. There's no doubt about that at all.
You know, the thing about guitars is they're all just mechanical tools. I mean, that's really all a guitar is a series of mechanical components, right? And you can take those mechanical components and switch them in and out, and you can certainly modify them. You know, that's the interesting thing. Everybody keeps talking about these Les Pauls and the 58 reissues. I think I've had two different 58 reissues that I've played, and they both sounded great, and you think, oh, this is wonderful. And then you go read on the forums, and you hear everybody complaining about, well, in 2016 they quit using the long neck tenon, now they're using the short neck tenon again, and so it's not as good of a guitar, or they're not using the same type of glue, and it's like, at some point, it's like.
That's crazy.
When do you actually play the thing? Quit worrying about how it's actually constructed. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. That's what I say.
There's a line I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear that. You got the wrong glue.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard the Gibson guys. All those guys talk about the hide glue, right? I mean, that was one of the big. In 2013. They revamped the historic, the custom art and historic line from Gibson, the custom shop, and they started using hide glue. They started using aniline dye for the backs. You know, the back of a Les Paul's got that real nice red cherry over the top of the mahogany. That's all. They're using aniline dye for all of that again. And it's like, if somebody held that up in front of me, and then a new American standard, just a standard Gibson standard Les Paul, you know, from 2016, I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference. I mean, it's all about in your head thinking that you've got exactly what was manufactured in 1958 or 59. And I think the truth of it is, some of the, especially in the pickups and the electronics, I'd be willing to bet that there's some components that you literally cannot obtain anymore. I mean, there's got to be some of that stuff that you, I mean, even the nitro, I doubt the composition of the nitro that they use to finish the guitars is even, it may not even be made out of the same thing anymore. It's still considered nitro.
But I tell you what, I've also got one of those VOS Gibsons. You know, they're supposed to be pretty accurate to the old days. I didn't buy it on the fact that it was using a particular glue or finish or whatever, but I bought it on the fact that it played great. I actually got a chance to play a 60s ES-335, and it played like a dog. It was awful. Like, it was really, really bad. I don't know if it was just a one-off. I mean, there's not many lefties 60s Gibsons I get a chance to play, but my Cherry Red 335, which is relatively new, the frets felt better, the neck felt better, like tonally it was just as good. Like, I don't know, people might be looking into that too much when they start worrying about, you know, what kind of glues and stuff they're using. That's crazy, man. I can't believe that.
And Shane, that's your Tokai, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
the Japanese one. Yeah,
I've never seen one of those in the States. You know, I've been to. I'm sort of in between, like Louisville, Kentucky, and St. Louis, Missouri. I'm sort of in between those two bigger cities.
Yeah.
For my area, I'm looking at Hutch right now. He's sitting up there in New York. He's like, big city. <You're right. laughs> I'm in Jersey. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So. But you don't see those, and it's interesting to hear somebody from the other side of the world talk about what's available over there and how it compares, and then you listen to it, and it's like with your back turned, you can't tell the difference.
No, that's it. Absolutely.
And the other reason why you can't... I was just going to say, the other reason why you can't get Tokais in the U.S. is because of Gibson. Gibson has put up their copyright bullshit and basically said that Tokai is infringing on their copyright, but because they're doing them in Japan in the first place, there is not the legal, I guess, precedent for them to actually stop them doing the Tokai Les Pauls and so forth, like the Gibson type stuff there. So that's why anytime you actually want to get a Tokai, again, Thomann has a limited selection of Tokais that they'll actually, you can import in, or you contact any type of Japan music store that will actually export. That's the only way you can get Tokais, other than the low end, and even still, it's still like a bunch of red tape, basically because of Gibson.
Yeah, that was the first.
Why didn't this happen with Fender guitars? Because I remember when this happened with Gibsons, you know. But Fender guitars, everyone makes Strats and everyone makes Telecasters. Why wasn't that a problem?
That's because they lost their copyright. The Stratocaster body, Telecaster body, the only thing that Fender has a copyright on right now is the Stratocaster headstock, if I believe correctly.
Yeah,
you're right. I had a Fernandez in the mid-80s, and this Fernandez, you couldn't, when they came out with a later model, they had to change their headstock, because the original Fernandez Strat had a regular Strat headstock.
Charvel was that way, right? Charvel had the Fender headstock.
They're owned by Fender, though, I believe.
They're owned by Fender now, though.
They are now. They weren't in the 80s.
No, you're right.
Yeah. It's amazing how many companies have bought up, or how many companies Fender has bought up. It's amazing to see what they own.
An interesting note in talking about copyright patterns right now before the show wraps up here shortly. One pattern right now that is up and that is being fought in the courts right now is the 335 guitar body pattern. And Gibson is fighting tooth and nail to get that copyright. And every single other company stretching back to has done a 335 copy has basically went into the court system and said, how are we going to manage to back pay on a copyright? And so far, everything that has been said, Gibson will never be able to get the copyright on that patent for that guitar body shape, because the simple fact, so many companies have done it, and on top of that, how many years back they would have to try to, go over that patent infringement and try to collect on and try to estimate. It would take decades.
Yeah. I had a Yamaha 335 in I think 1990. It was exactly the same. It was the best guitar.
There's some great Yamaha stuff out there. A mate of mine's got one that looks kind of like an SG, and it's a ripper. It sounds unreal.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I was going to stop at 12:30 here, my time, but it's now 1:30, and my stomach is rumbling big time. I want to get some food. But I appreciate everyone stopping by, and I know I missed a lot of questions in the chat here. As we get talking, and I'm moving the cameraman around, it's hard for me to keep on top of all the questions. But feel free to shoot me an email or message on Facebook or whatever, and I'll be able to reply to you that way. But yeah.
Finish your laundry.
Yeah. It's all ready to go. While we got some sunshine today in Melbourne here, I'm gonna have to get that done. So fun stuff.
Pleasure to meet and get to talk to you tonight. I appreciate you. Appreciate you giving me the shot here. Thank you.
Oh no, no worries. Anytime. If you want to be on the email list, just shoot me an email at intheblues@outlook.com. I send out the link ahead of time, usually half an hour beforehand or something before the streams go. But I generally send an email the day prior to let people know it's coming up. So, there's no pressure. If you want to be on the list, just shoot me an email and we can hang out again. It's great to have Hunter in here as well for the first time. So thanks for joining in, man.
Yeah, no problem. It was great.
Awesome. And Alex, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for joining in, mate.
Thank you. Thank you for the videos on all the comparisons you did. It helped, it helped a lot.
Hey, no worries at all.
Alex, we're going to get you in the blues.
Yeah. We might do this again in a couple of weeks. I got a couple more weeks of the grind, and then I'll be back to being a free man. So we'll do a few more of these coming up. And Wayne, great to talk to you again. Same Terry, and Hutch, as always, man. Thanks for all the support. And I know you sent me a donation that I didn't thank you for personally.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man. That was cool. Well, that's cool.
It's not much of a donation, so.
Oh no, but it's appreciated. So that was cool. I forgot to thank you last time over the air. So, yeah, guys, well, thanks again, and we'll have another chat soon, and, yeah, rock on.
Thank you for all you do, Shane, really.
Thank you,
no
Shane.
Worries. It's good fun. So thanks for the support. We'll
catch you soon. It's always nice meeting and talking with new people, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it always is.
All right, good night, Shane.
All right, guys. Take care, and thanks to everyone.
Good night, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See ya.
Yep.